B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another week. The Mike Missinelli Show from 97.5 The Fanatic. And lots of stuff to talk about today. Sixers and the Flyers and the Eagles are still left over. And, of course, the NCAA tournament. Let's first start with the Philadelphia 76ers as we get closer to the trade deadline. I'll say this. The Sixers, I'm listening to a lot of callers today. A lot of callers go, we're good enough. Last night, they were this close to not being good enough. If they would have lost to the Knicks last night, I guarantee you it would have been a different mindset today coming in. What they need another guy. But they have survived the game. Tobias Harris not having a good game comes up big in the end. Randall goes nuts. See, that guy's untrustable. He's an untrustworthy. He plays hard. He'll make some baskets. But, like, he's bitching and moaning after the game about the officials. Well, he's the guy who lets Tobias Harris sneak in from behind him instead of checking him out. Or that play doesn't even happen when he goes to the line, wins with a couple free throws. So the Sixers this close. And we're on this scale here. They win without Embiid. People go, they're good. I like them the way they are. Don't change a thing. And when they lose a game, it's like, well, maybe we need a little more. So I don't know where you stand at this point. Again, it's a sliding scale, and I like the reaction from people one way or the other. There's a trade out there. I found it interesting because the people that cover the league are doing speculation now on who they can get. And I know a lot of people would prefer Oladipo than Kyle Lowry. I'll take either one of them. I don't have any problem with making a trade to grab either one of them, including Kyle Lowry. If you tell me the Sixers can only get Kyle Lowry, I'm in. Now, if they can make a better deal and get Oladipo, I'm also in. And what the people are saying, and I can't believe this could be possible, that Oladipo could be gotten with a first-round pick or a young player, a worthy first-round pick, a higher first-round pick. Would they be willing to give you Oladipo for a first-round pick, which isn't that great, and a young player? If it's either or, right? Would you give them right now your first round pick and either Maxey or Thybulle for Oladipo? If that's possible. Would you do that?
Yeah, I'm trying to win this year. So I prefer Maxey. Because Thybulle does things that can help you win this year. Maxey doesn't do anything that helps you win this year.
I agree. So if they said, give me Maxey and a first round pick, you got Oladipo.
Yeah, and I'll work out the other salaries and stuff to make it happen. He's probably going to walk at the end of the year. So what? I'm trying to win a title. Yeah, I do it.
All right.
And it would hurt my feelings, but I do it.
Yeah, I know it would hurt your feelings because of Maxey. But I don't know if you want to take the chance. It's like a mob guy. You remember the scene in, it was a Casino, I guess? Yeah, it was Casino. And Remo is sitting around what to do with Andy Stone.
Yes.
And all of them go, he's a good kid. No, he's a good kid. He's solid. He won't say a word. And Remo goes, why take a chance? At least that's the way I feel about it. So that's the way I feel about this. It's like, why take a chance on not having either Lowry or Oladipo and forget about the Maxey Thybulle first round pick thing? Like, because if you come up short, you're going to rue the day. And to me, your chances increase if you get either one of those players. I can't not do it for that reason. I can't then if I don't have enough, I'll rue the day that I wanted to preserve these young players. And I know you're going to go, well, I'm not up the road. You can still win it. I get it. But if you're going to miss out this year on a team that looks really close to winning the East, I just don't understand why you would not do it.
And for people I know they're going to call about, you would still have, in any scenario, next season, to start your season, Embiid, Simmons, Tobias Harris, and Curry. Minimum. You would definitely have that. That's not the worst thing. I'm saying, so let's say it doesn't work out. You still have those four gentlemen under contract, under control, to where you can then get creative and try to reload again. There's nothing that you would do at this trade deadline that would preclude you from trying to win now and in the future.
So here's what I want to throw your way. Do you know that you're good enough right now with the current people? Do you know? I don't think anybody could say yes. All right? I think you're guessing that you could be good enough. I don't know if anybody feels comfortable saying yes, I think we're good enough. Do you get closer if you make the deal? Because I know people are going to say, well, you don't know if you're going to win if you get Lowry or Oladipo. Yeah, I know. But do you get closer to winning than you would have if you stood pat? That's the only thing. To figure this out logically, you want to win. You're really close to winning here. One piece may be enough to get you past the Nets. Right now, you don't know if you're past the Nets. You think you are. But you don't really know, and we really haven't seen this team over the last week or so without Embiid, or with Embiid. So you can't measure right now what they are, because this is not going to be the team that competes in the playoffs. So I don't know, man. To me, it's real simple, and I just I hear a lot of people that are scared and nervous about it, and I go, why are you nervous? You know, you can take a chance. Sometimes you got to take a chance. And I know the conversation, if it doesn't work, it doesn't, and Lowry doesn't work out, you don't win, and he goes, you know, people are going to be ripping the hell out of us here. But listen, I can look myself in the mirror. If I've made an effort to get past where we are now, I can't argue with that.
Right. I think that they're a move away. Now, maybe there's a name we're not thinking of. I just think it would be rigid. I think some fans are being too rigid to not consider making a move. Maybe we don't know the guy right now. Maybe in the next couple of days some surprise name comes up. But why not try to add? Because you see you have a great coach. You see it. You see you have a great coach. And you have a damn good team with a chance. And the other part is, while the Sixers haven't had great injury luck, look at the other teams now starting to have some woes. The Lakers and stuff. How Toronto win? They won by getting a quadruple bounce. Then they go and the Bucks have some issues. And then both Durant and Klay Thompson get hurt. So you have to put yourself in position to take advantage of getting lucky. The Sixers didn't get there, guess what? Sixers didn't win it. Maybe the Sixers win it if the quadruple. Sixers have a chance to put themselves at least in a position where they can maybe do it right now. Are we 100% sure that it's even a maybe? Are we sure?
No, I don't think we are. A lot of people are, though. And I want to hear from you, because I listened to a lot on the station today, and a lot of people were saying that. So, and listen, it comes off a goody-goody feeling. It was a good win for them last night. They didn't play that well, and they stole the game last night, probably that they shouldn't have won. But so people are going, oh, well, they're good enough as they are. But, you know, if they would have lost last night, I think your feelings may have changed. But we'll talk about it. Also, a couple of other issues. And the Nick Foles issue is upon us again. And
how's everyone doing?
Yeah, look, they need a backup quarterback. All right, Joe Flacco has been floated. Nick Foles has been floated. I can tell you that I don't even care anymore. If you guys want Nick Foles to be your backup quarterback, just know what it's going to do to the guy who is supposed to be the starter. And you can say what you want, that Jalen Hurts is tougher than Carson Wentz, and Jalen Hurts won't be bothered. It's really not the point whether he's going to be bothered. The point is, if he underachieves, players will start to believe, wait, this guy here who won the Super Bowl here? This guy? He's still on the bench? And then the crowd gets involved, and I think it's an unsightly situation. But if you like the idea, I'm okay. I'm not anti-Nick Foles. You want to bring him in, just know what it's going to cause. You think you're going to be make your team better? Maybe you will. Maybe Hurts isn't good enough. Foles gets in there and does something magical. I don't know.
Why not?
Hello, Natalie.
Hi,
Natalie's
Mike.
Back with us.
So happy to see you and Ty and your good, smiling faces.
Good to see
Monday.
You. Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good.
All right, awesome. And one of the things we go into the breakdancing tournament. Now, I think Tyron and I feel similar to a point on this. I like the early upsets. I don't like it when it takes out a team that could win a national championship. Now, Illinois, all right, I didn't really know how good they were. They seemed to be a good team. They're not Gonzaga good. So if Gonzaga would have been upset by a lower-seeded team, that would have bugged me a lot. Because I want to see the best teams actually play for it and not succumb to some fluky one-game situation where they get an upset loss. So fortunately, three number one seeds survived. I wouldn't want to have seen Michigan out. I would have wanted to see Gonzaga out. I didn't have a problem with Illinois going out. And so it goes. And, I didn't have a problem with Texas losing Abilene Christian because Abilene Christian is not going to win their next game. And then the Tennessee, you know, that guy's an overrated coach. So I didn't mind that they lost to Oregon State. But had Gonzaga lost, that's where the upset is poison when it comes to the overall quality of an NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
You agree with that or not?
I agree with that. What I think it is a lot of fans, when they watch the tournament, they're one night stand type of fans. I'm more of a relationship guy.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the long term health of the tournament, and I want to be able to watch good games throughout the whole thing. What the upsets cause is my eyes bleeding from bad basketball. Like that Texas Abilene Christian game was the worst basketball game, and I only got to see part of it because of the Sixers. It was the worst basketball game I've ever seen in my life. It was my eyes still hurt. I deserve to be paid for watching that garbage. Now that team gets to play more basketball. See the one night stand is cute, but I think about the morning after.
Yeah, I get it, but see that goes down more to the coaches who aren't good enough coaches with better talent to beat a team that looks different. Like, you should be able to beat that. You should be able to coach your way around that team. And that's where the coaches come into play, like, to lose. And now, Oral Roberts is an interesting story.
They might be good.
Yeah, they look like they have some talent.
Yeah.
And we just underseeded them and didn't pay attention
to
them.
Right, they're good.
So I like that part of it.
Yeah, but every so often when you get to Santa Clara with Steve Nash, or the Lehigh with McCollum, if you got real good players, but most of the upsets aren't those. Most of them are ear-bleeding
terrible. And this
terrible.
Was another one of these years. It was such a weird year. And I said it's going to be unpredictable because of this year, this COVID, people losing games, not being able to play for a couple weeks at a time. I didn't really have a feel on this tournament, and it's playing out that way. More of these teams that are lower-seeded are winning because we don't really know anything about them, and these teams aren't prepared because they haven't played enough basketball this year without being disjointed. So it's fun. It's fun to watch it, and you can follow from this point on. And Villanova now finds themselves in a position where they need one golden win in their next game. I can't count them out. They're certainly not going to be favored in the game.
Well, I'm going to tell you, next time I see Jay Wright, I hope he's vaccinated because I'm going to hug him. Because he went out there and handled business the way he's supposed to as a great coach. I love
it. Yeah, he handled business.
I feel so good about
Villanova. But he beat a 12 seed and a 13 seed.
Hey, what you mean? No, that's what you said. He went out there and he stomped. I love Jay Wright.
All right,
Jay Wright,
okay.
I love you. I love the Villanova program.
Now a number one seed. So we'll see how you feeling about this?
I don't feel great about it, but okay. I'm rooting for Nova. I love you for taking care of business. This is what I like, something that I can rely on, something that's good to look at. They play a pleasing style. He's adjusted his style.
Interesting that you don't like the upsets because your squad almost pulled one and should have pulled one. For you Rutgers people out there, I bleed for you, man. I'm telling you. I don't feel any happiness at all. They had that game knocked dead, and they gave it up, and it's a shame. It really is.
And that's where you mentioned coaching. That's part of the reason why I want to wrap my arms around the great Jay Wright. It's just that if Jay Wright could have just coached the last 3 minutes of that game, Rutgers wins the game. And Notre, that coach did a great job. He got them to there, obviously won the first tournament game since 83.
They played spectacular all game, too, and then they just hit a wall because the coach said, hey, you guys are supposed to be scared here. Let's run a 1-4 and take 30 seconds off the clock. Come on, man.
And I just wish he had to just let them play. They don't have experience now. In his defense, he's not experienced in those spots. Maybe he gets better. But that one, hurt me personally.
That was a hurt. I felt hurt. I really did. I felt hurt for Rutgers. That's a shame, man. You know, they've gone so long without being in the tournament and winning it. When the last time they won a game, 79?
It was 83.
83? That's a long time
long
ago.
Long time. But that's how you know the players.
It's a damn shame, man. All right. 610-632-0975. That's how you climb into the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It's 2:23. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin, and Attention HVAC Contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Is one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. All right, let's get our Twitter poll. And Natalie has been off a couple days. She's back with a vengeance.
Yes.
2 o'clock, the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you're looking for a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or give him a call. Order. You can pick it up right at the shop with safe contactless pickup. Nat, what is today's Twitter poll?
Alrighty, Mike, over 600 votes on this one early. Are the Sixers good enough to win the championship as is? And this is always a sign of a good poll. 51% say yes, 49% say no. So people are split.
Alrighty. Updating the NCAA tournament, Iowa just lost. So the Big Ten has had a big diaper accident in this tournament. 19, they get, what, two left?
Yeah.
Michigan and Maryland are left, and Maryland is not long for the tournament.
No, it's all riding on Michigan.
Right. So I'm going to make a bold prediction otherwise.
All right.
I don't think there's any way you can prevent this. Syracuse is going to the Final Four. The Cuse is going to the Final Four with momentum. They're going to take out your squad. Houston, that dude's got the bad hip.
Yeah, he's going
to get it. And they survived against Rutgers.
That gets them to the 8.
Syracuse zone has been befuddling people. That gets them to the 8, where they would then play the winner of Loyola Chicago, Oregon State.
Now, I will say, Loyola Chicago, that coach can't stay there. He's too good a coach to be coaching
there.
He needs
team,
a bigger job.
But I think the Cuse is going to get to the Final Four.
Well, this is, once again, a pedigreed coach. Now, he's a kind of a not a great guy all the time.
Yeah.
But, and I don't like that his son is balling, like legitimately balling. Like, I'm uncomfortable with that as well. Like, he's playing, like, really well.
Yes, he is.
That zone, he knows how to coach that. I saw somebody, I forget who said it. He has made adjustments to it to where it's looking like the Chaney zone.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He is spreading it out a bit.
And it looks different.
It does look different.
It looks like the
really,
matchup zone
they used
now.
To be very passive with
right,
that zone.
Right, with that guy's laying back with the arms. Now they modernized it, and it is befuddling teams. And you know what? Why, at this point,
I'm telling you, they're going to get. They're making a ton of threes, and their defense is confusing people.
But I do think Loyola Chicago, that's a team where that coach, he has to get the Indiana job, right?
They'd like to go for a big name in Indiana. He's a solid coach. And that kid he's got that playing, I swear, that kid, I'm predicting another prediction. That kid, when he gets his corporate job, when he leaves, he's going to average 50 in the corporate league.
Yeah, he is.
That kid, what's his name?
I forget the names. Because I've been trying, I had to citrus play both
games. He looks like he's 42.
Yes.
He's chubby. He's unorthodox. He's throwing in crap.
Yeah, I mean,
he's gonna Google Inc. He scores 55 a game.
Like what's this about? What is this? You guys, that's unfair. Because he'll be anonymous enough by that time.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
All right, 610-632-0975. Let's go to phones and talk to Akash in Crestmont. What's up, Akash?
Hey, yo, Mike. Ron, what's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
Now, listen, I'm going to let y'all know right now, the Sixers roster is currently constructed. They not built for playoff ball, real city ball. I'm going to tell you, they need to pick up J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters for the playoff run.
Come on, man. Stop it. Don't insult us. Don't be the first call me and insult our intelligence.
No, I'm not insulting.
Yes, you are. Come on. J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters. Stop it. It's nonsense.
Right now,
stop it. Come on.
And then listen. And then you trade Ben to the Pistons.
Yeah, see, why you got that? Akash, what makes you make a call like this? I want to know what your mindset is. What are you just trying to, like, we're professionals here. Why would you call up and lower the, come on, man, don't do that kind of stuff. It's lame. It's childish. If you want to talk sports, come up with something interesting.
Well, what y'all
don't waste a call.
What y'all think about Wayne Ellington?
Come on, man. Come on, Akash. We're professionals here, man. We look like people you want to toddle with.
Me.
Yeah, what do you think?
Man, I think it's sunshine.
We come here, we're going to juggle tennis balls for you? You're going to put on a clown nose? Oh, we take our job seriously here. You're going to be Deion Waiters, first call?
Yeah, it's...
Come on, Akash.
These guys are available for nothing. It's
come on, man.
Team talking about a team trying to win the title.
Sorry, first call, troll. Let's go to Joe in West Philly. Joe, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, mate.
What's up, Joe?
That's all right, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about what you said about it. I think you really do make a move. Either way, I think if you get Kyle Lowry, I think that's, you know, you try to cut down on turnovers and, you know, run a better half-court offense. And, you know, Oladipo is that wing that complete tie, you know, Ben and Tobias Harris, you know what I'm saying? You know, because Ben ain't really got the polish, and, you know, Tobias, you know what I mean? You know, he's nice, but, you know what I mean? I think, you know, Oladipo, you compliment them too. I think it's whatever direction you
all know, right,
you
so you're not content to say, we're good. We're good. He doesn't really have to do anything, this general manager. There are a lot of people that feel, that's why, like, I'm not trying to, like, I want to talk to the people because I've heard a lot of them say, don't mess this team. You're good enough.
You know what, because to me in playoffs, Jaylen Brown and Tatum get over and Ben and Tobias and really can't answer and, you know, and it gets like that. I mean, I think they really deep. You know, nice. Yeah, I mean, complimentary. I mean, I think if you can, I think you're so close now. Yeah, I mean, I think if you really kind of do need some kind of push into the playoff. Man, Brooklyn got James, Harden now. You know what I'm saying? I think you must counteract some, you know, in a way while you're this close.
Yeah, I mean, look, like I say, I tell you, Joe, I don't know. Like, I can't say to somebody, you're crazy for thinking they have enough. I don't know if they have enough. I hear your playoff point.
I can't say that either.
I think a lot of people don't really change their thinking to think about the playoffs. They think that what you're seeing now is the way it's going to be. It's not. There's going to be a whole different situation in the playoffs. So you got to be ready for that. And I just think that adding a veteran player, like either one of those guards, gives you a lot more than what you have now.
And, you know, and there's a scoring punch, you know, if you go, you know, probably, you know, try to get more in scoring. If you could cut down the turnovers, just cut more scoring. And Oladipo, I mean, he's a pedigree that, you know, he's not going to get lost in a shuffle with Tatum and with the athletic.
Yeah, they're going to be able to make a shot for you at least.
Definitely.
Both guys are going to be able to make a killer shot for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, Kyle, you know, Ice.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I look at another, they've been playing good basketball, okay? Now, last night, I wouldn't get carried away with the win over the Knicks. But in the playoffs, you're going to need guys to make big shots to defend somebody else. Ben's going to be able to defend a guy? Yeah. But we're talking about the Nets who can make shots all over the floor. Your defense is going to be spread out. You're going to be a little more active. You're going to have to counter their scoring with your scoring. And I just think that it's okay to think that they're good enough. I just would like them to get a little better. That's all.
Yeah, like the Knicks thing, I was they had no business winning that game.
No.
Embiid also wasn't playing.
Yeah, I can't even measure what they are now. People are measuring what they are now other than Embiid. You got to go, okay, this is different. It's going to be different.
Yeah, I think they're measuring off of what he did up until the injury, mm-hmm. the smart people. So you're looking at a bench right now with Shake in the playoffs. Shake, Thibel, Howard. And then by matchup, you may at some point see Scott or you may see Cork Miles.
You're not going to see Maxey.
No, Maxey won't play a single
He will
second.
Not play.
He will not play.
See, that's the thing. I think a lot of people don't see that.
No, they can't. So, the most you will see, the only five you could possibly see off the bench in the playoffs, unless it's a 20-point blowout one way or the other, is Shake, Thibel, and Howard. Those are your eight with the starting five that you have. Those are your eight. Then based on matchups and stuff like that, you might see a Mike Scott. The Doc Rivers mentioned yesterday that they thought about instead of Bradley going with Mike Scott as a small ball five. And Cork Miles against once. That's it. You're not seeing Maxey. You're not going to see Isaiah Joe. You're not going to see B-Ball Paul. Like, they're not going to play in the playoffs. Most likely, you're only going to see Shake, Thibel, Howard. That's it.
Yes.
The starting five, you're going to see Shake, Thibel, Howard in the playoffs. And that's it.
I would like to see a little more than that. That's all I'm saying. That, you know, I get it. Like the playoffs, we've been through this so many times where playoff intensity is so different. And so the games you win in the regular season, they con you into thinking they're good because they're scattering minutes around with everybody and they're finding ways to beat these teams. But in the playoffs, you got to beat a team four times. You know, it's tough.
Now, one interesting thing, if you did do a Lowry trade, is likely then Thibel becomes a starter. Lowry would start. And then that moves Curry off the bench with Shake. Now, think about a playoff situation where you get a great shooter, literally like one of the best shooters in the world coming off the bench, Shake off the bounce, and Howard. And now you're starting lineup, Lowry, Thibel, Simmons, Tobias, Embiid. Yeah. Now, you're long.
Yeah.
You can rugged. That's a better roster overall. No disrespect to Danny Green, who's been a great pro for him and bailed him out yesterday. That does probably make you a little bit more powerful. That right there, if you're three guys off the bench are Curry, Shake, and Howard.
All right, 610-632-0975. Just being informed that Hall of Famer Elgin Baylor passed away. He was 86. Elgin Baylor, one of the great players of all time, natural causes at 86. So like all these legendary players, all of a sudden they're gone. And, if you remember them in their career, it shakes you a little bit when somebody like that you thought was one of the great players you've seen passes away. All right, David and Wayne. David, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. David.
Yeah, last night, last play of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody think they had a foul to give? I don't understand why they didn't foul and make him take the ball out and eat up a little clock.
You're talking about before Randall hit the three?
Yeah.
No, they did not have a shot to give.
Yeah, they had a foul to give.
No, they did not.
Oh, I thought they did. But even still, you wouldn't foul and send him to the line?
Well, you could have, I guess.
Considering the Knicks.
Yeah, you could have. But see, here's the thing. They got it to him behind the 3-point line. So if you're fouling there, you got a chance to lose the game. You know, that goes in with a foul.
Right. You got to foul him right away before he gets a chance to put to go into motion on the shot.
Yeah.
I just thought. I mean, Tobias did a great job on him. I just thought, God, I thought they fouled him. But hey, they won it. But. Yeah, I was also glad to see them hitting some threes other than from the corner. Seems like that's all they can do is hit threes from the corner. Korkmaz, Scott, and Green. And they're mixing it up a little bit.
Danny Green made a runner last night. I fell out of my chair.
He did. Yeah.
Thibel hit the three. Danny Green made a runner. And I said, well, God's involved in this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're probably a player away. Depending on the injury situation in the playoffs, anything can happen. But I'd like to see him make a deal. I'd like to see him get rid of Green. Not that thrilled with him. So.
Yeah. Well, I get nobody's thrilled with Danny Green. It's interesting. But he has made some timely threes for him.
He has. He has. He has shown that he might be a kind of a clutch player. I like that.
All right, man. You got it. Tough on the officials last night with only two.
Yeah.
Scrambling around.
And then the Knicks complaining like, he's biased because he played for the Sixers in 1984. They were actually putting that online.
Julius Randle's a disagreeable cur.
Yeah.
He really is, man.
Yeah, this is how far first impressions go with that green call. So he was 3 for his first 16 threes when he first came. 3 for 19 to start. Since then, he shot over 40% for the Sixers from 3.
He made some big shots last night later.
He has shot, when you're talking about a guy who needs the space around Ben Simmons, who continues not to shoot, and Joel Embiid, a big man. The man has shot since an early struggle. This is a long time. This is like 30-some games. Over in a 72-game season, he shot 40.4% from the three-point line.
Yeah.
I understand that people don't love him, but that's not the easiest thing in the world to find. Like, Danny Green, they would have to replace that after a trade.
Yeah.
He doesn't stink.
No question. So last night, interesting enough, Ben almost wore the goat horns last night. I don't know how Randle missed that shot. He got a good look at that last shot there.
Yeah.
When they turned that over. Yeah. What a loss that would have been had he made that shot.
Yeah, he didn't play well last night.
No, he did not play well.
Box score always says differently, but he did not play well. I wonder if the knee's bothering him. Missed the night before. I wonder if the knee's bothering him.
Possible. Frank, North Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
Hello.
What's up, Frankie?
What's going on, Mike? How you?
Good, man. How you doing?
I don't care what nobody say. I think we good with what we got.
Okay, tell me how.
Because the last two games, even back to the Sacramento game, now granted Sacramento and the Knicks ain't nothing to be bragging about, but with your three major starters going in the Sacramento game, that was convincingly a win from the bench. You think what I'm saying?
That's Sacramento.
Yeah, I know, but it was players playing.
Yeah, Frank, playoffs, four times you got to beat the Nets or the Bucks. Or whoever you're playing, or the Heat, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they've won some interesting regular season games. The playoffs are different.
But even if you look at the Nets in the Bucks, if we healthy, it ain't nobody really that.
What are you talking about? The Nets haven't even played with the three guys yet.
That's what I'm saying, and that's why I'm not intimidated by them because they don't. James Harden and the rest of them guys disappear in the playoffs too. So do Giannis and everybody else.
Yeah, I don't know where you get that they disappear in the playoffs. Where does James Harden disappear in the playoffs? Maybe one game he disappeared?
The whole series.
Right? No, come on, man. See, there's this notion out there that's inaccurate about James Harden disappearing in the playoffs and Kyrie Irving disappearing in the playoffs and KD. They're all going to disappear.
Kyrie Irving just disappeared, period, because I believe he don't
really
like basketball.
So he disappeared when the Cavs won it. Disappeared?
No, that's when it turned for the worst for him because that's when the relationship with him in basketball.
I don't care what happened in the past. I'm looking at him right now. They don't disappear in the playoffs. They got three guys that can make shots anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, I don't see it the same way, Mike.
I think you're being a little bit of a homer, but that's okay. You're being a homer. You're telling me you would not like a team that had Lowry or Oladipo better than what they are now?
No.
Wow. All right, man, listen. I don't know what to say to you.
Not at all.
Okay. All right. You got it. I mean, listen, I appreciate that you're standing up for your squad, but I don't know how you could look in the mirror and say, we wouldn't be better off with either Kyle Lowry on this team or Victor Oladipo. I don't know how that could be said.
Yeah, I don't.
Because the guys that you'll be losing wouldn't hamper you enough to say you're depleting while you're adding. You're totally adding. I get that you're gonna pick up another player to come off the bench, but you're adding a pro player. You know, and in the playoffs, pro players make the difference. All right, let's take a break. 610-632-0975. It's a quick break. We're right back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 2:45. Mike Missinelli Show, 3 o'clock hour. I want to introduce a concept called what are the most dumbass things fans do at games?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question.
It's based on golf. But okay. I want to carry it to other sports. Because it's something that I just loathe when it comes to golf. That fans do.
So you mean like fighting and stuff?
No. Here's the golf thing. Why is it necessary for somebody to yell out, get in the hole? What do you possibly get out of that? Where you yell Baba Booey or get in the hole or mashed potatoes. What is wrong with you? Like, I don't understand it. Like, why do you have to be the loud voice that stands out to say something like that?
Maybe because they think it'll make a difference. It's kind of like when people yell shoot, right? Is that the same
thing? That's a crowd arena mentality where people are yelling like that. There's a roar in those kind of games.
You're talking about the one guy.
It's like the one guy has to stand out and be a J.O.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it. What do you get out of that?
I mean,
does it make you feel good?
Probably. He's probably just that guy who has to do that.
Well, why do you have to be that guy?
I don't know.
You know, I'm getting a lot of blowback on this, too, over the weekend, because I put that ad on Twitter.
What? Wait, people are mad?
Yeah, people go, like, no, man, it's fans. Fans having fun. All right, but it's different. Like, the golf crowd isn't like an arena crowd.
I was going to say, it's also the culture of the sport, too. It's not like people are getting rowdy.
Like, and you hear the guy, like, what is he doing it for? Is he doing it to get on the telecast?
Probably.
Is that what he's doing it for?
That could be why.
So, in other words, when he goes home that night, he goes, did you hear me yell, get in the hole on the 7th?
Yeah, so he probably has a DVR so he can rewind it and hear himself.
Listen, I don't understand. There's some human things I don't understand. I don't understand the boo for a throw over to first base also. I don't get it. What?
Well, that's because he's slowing the game down.
But it's just, like, it's foolish. It's not, what are you booing? Where's the boo come from? They're just trying to check on the runner.
I think people get mad when it's not a real close play.
Well, that's
when
what
they just throw it just to throw it, just because you want to throw it, versus you're actually trying to get the guy
every single time.
No, when they almost catch the guy.
Every single time they boo.
When they almost get the guy, the whole crowd roars like, ooh, everybody oohs when it's close.
No, they don't oo.
Yes, they do.
No, when because it's the opposing pitcher they boo is trying to pick off your guy.
Yeah, they go, ooh.
They boo every single time. And I just don't get it. I don't get it.
That one doesn't bother me.
I'm going to compile a list.
Yeah, you got to. Because that one doesn't bother me.
That bothers me to no end. It's showing you don't know the game.
You're checking on the runner.
Showing you don't know the game. Like, you're checking on the runner. It's a strategic part of the game. What are you booing?
Sometimes. No, sometimes guys are just stalling. Those guys are just stalling just to do it. It's their rhythm. It's what they do every time.
But isn't that the mental part of it?
I don't get it. Mental part of what? They're checking the runner. He's got a big lead. They throw over. Boo.
No, they don't just do it when a guy has a big lead. There's many times the guy's barely there, barely off the bag, and he throws anyway. That's what I'm like, well, what are you doing? He's not going anywhere. He has zero steals. He's 1 inch from the bag. What are you throwing it there for?
Come on, man.
They don't do it just when guys have a big lead. They do not. I wish they did. It would be awesome.
Every time they throw over, fans boo here. Let's go to Dane in Collegeville. Dane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dane.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike.
What's up, Dane? How you doing?
Nothing much. Solid weekend with the Sixers. The wire-to-wire beatdown of the Kings was solid. The Knicks win, I take a little more value in it because they're our Eastern Conference opponent, and we're probably going to see them again. To me, Oladipo or Larry, I'll take. I don't know how the GM is going to make that work and make that fit on the roster.
Why not? Why wouldn't he make it fit?
No, I'm not saying I just don't know how the money works and who you'd have to move. If whatever, he's the numbers guy, and if he can make
you have to move Mike Scott and Danny Green.
Oh, then.
And you have to throw a pick in there, a number one pick probably, and one of those young players.
Then if that's the case, Mike, I'll take it. I'm not hating on Danny Green, but to me, he almost reminds me of a J.J. Redick, where you'll get the three-pointer, but you're going to get those lapses on defense. And it is what it is. But like you said, to replace a 40% three-point shooter, that's not easy to do. So you got to take the good with the bad. But if they can make the money work, Mike, I'm not going
to
say
that. Yeah, they're the only two players that have to go. They're both expiring contracts, which make them covetable by the other team because they can get rid of them at the end of the year. So that's the way it works.
To me, that's a no-brainer. I mean, I hear it's 50-50. Mm-hmm. You know, don't mess up the chemistry. Don't trade this person. But like you said to me about a week ago, Mike, scared money don't make money. So if you're going to throw all your dice in to go get the title and we get the title, it is what it is, and that's what I want.
You hear, I think, you know, that last caller, I heard a lot of calls like that today. People go, no, don't mess this up. I think they're good enough right now. You don't have to mess anything up. And they're afraid of losing a guy like Maxey or Thybulle. And I get that, but Maxey or Thybulle ain't going to be the difference between you winning the East this year against the NBA Finals. Lowry or Oladipo would be.
Mike, the only reason why I feel that I would keep Thybulle is because, and I've said this to you, is he reminds me of a low-key Bruce Bowen. But he's not at that level yet where he's hitting 40% from the three-point line. So, like I said, if you push the chips in and we walk in down Broad Street in June, it is what it is, and we take that. Have a good day, Mike.
I hear you. So we're going to be in July this year. I hear you. And I'm with you. I think it's not like people have this concept. You're mortgaging your future. You're not really mortgaging your future. You know, I'd hate to lose Maxey, too. I think I can find another Maxey, and the pick you're going to give him is in the late 20s. So I think I could live with that.
Well, you hope it's 30 because you win the whole thing. Right. You hope it's pick 30.
I hope it's the last one. Yes. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. It's to me, I think you just have to be smart about about the situation because of what other deals you may or may not be able to make.
Yeah.
Because if you lose Thybulle and you add Lowry and you lose Green, I do think you're now, you if you don't make another move, you must play Korkmaz now because you are low on wings.
Yeah.
That is a concern. Now, again, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that you have to have another move in mind because I don't know if your main wing bench player is Korkmaz, I don't care who your starters are. I personally don't believe you can win a title. That's just my opinion. Like, even if you get Lowry and you have everybody rolling, if your main wing that you can, your only wing you can really rely on is Korkmaz against the Nets or whoever, the Bucks, the good teams, Miami, the good teams.
Yeah.
I think you would struggle. You still need a viable wing who can play both ends of the court in a playoff situation.
I didn't mention Korkmaz's name yet in the first hour, which is unusual because he started the game and
it's hot early.
Got him off to a good start.
Early.
Through a flip lob dunk when the pass to Ben on the break.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But.
Hands off.
Yeah, he got him off to a good start.
My hands are off.
My issue with Korkmaz is my always issue is the consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sixers could make trades to where they now have to rely on Korkmaz. And you've talked about what happens when you have to rely on Korkmaz.
Yeah.
And that is, so I just want to understand.
I'm trying not to say anything.
I hear you. But
I really am. I'm trying really hard not to say a thing.
No, I watch all the games. I have to watch all the games. And I'm trying to project just like everybody else to the playoffs. And I'm imagining, all right, there's some foul trouble. Tobias, somebody's in foul trouble. We got to go to the bench.
Yeah.
We need 20, 25 minutes tonight from Cork in the playoffs.
I hear you.
And it's a concern for me.
It's a concern for me, too.
That's all.
All right. 610-632-0 That's all I'm saying. It's a concern for me, too. That's about as caustic as I'm going to get today.
But just for the playoffs, it's a concern for me. In the playoffs.
Correct. All right, Mike Mussinelli Show. We roll into the 3 o'clock hour. Get in the hole! Back into this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Right.
Who's, you know, messing up the pitcher's stride.
Right. And for me, it's not really about the pace of the game. That's something where, like, I'm there to see pitcher versus hitter. That, to me, is fun, by the way. Mm-hmm. You see it a bunch of times. 27 times. At least 27 times. Obviously, more if it's hits. I'm going to see pitcher versus batter. Mm-hmm. It's great to see. But if the guy's always stepping out, and I think sometimes that throw over feels to fans like this guy, oh, you're scared to throw it to the plate. And I think that's why I think you have to take it case by case.
It's foolish.
Now you can't take it case by case?
No, I can't take it case by case because it's part of the game. Pitchers will throw over to first base, okay? Well, for whatever reason they're doing it, whether it's to reset themselves, whether it's to kill, you're not ready to deliver the pitch. It's just like backing off a golf swing and some guy's getting ready to address the ball and something's not right and they back off it, right? I'll pitcher to do that just to break his mental thing.
Right.
It's part of the game.
But I don't like it when it's like, all right, you're behind in the count. You're throwing over there, and then you're about to throw it in the dirt again. You know you're not going to get it together. Like, sometimes you can tell when the pitcher's lost.
You can't give up on yourself.
You're wasted over there. You're throwing it in the dirt.
You can't give up on yourself as a pitcher. You're trying to, all right, let me throw over here, break a little concentration, and then I can get refocused. The boo happens every single time. It's every single time. There isn't a time when fans aren't booing that throw to first base.
Fans should start to boo on a case-by-case basis, and you should accept it on a case-by-case basis.
All right, now, deal with the golf thing now.
Now, the golf thing, I'm with you. Because, but I think why they do it is, I don't think they're all DVRing. I think some, to Natalie's point, are, for sure. They know they're going to be near X hole. They're recorded. They want to hear themselves or have their buddy. Some people, though, I think it's alcohol related. They get out there.
You're probably right.
And they start drinking, and they're probably sober, would never do that.
Yeah.
They get themselves into a frenzy. A guy hits it long, because usually it's when a guy crushes it. You can kind of hear that sound when a guy really lays into it, especially if you're like a real golfer. As a casual, I can tell, okay, a guy, he lit into that one. And that's when they say it because of the alcohol,
right.
I believe.
Here's what I would allow for.
Okay.
First of all, they do it on par fours.
Right.
Well, it's not going in.
It's not. There's impossible.
Right?
Right.
So I will allow for a par three to get in the hole.
Okay.
Only if they first follow the ball flight.
So
as soon as they strike it is when they go, get in the hole.
So
now, if the ball flight is headed right for the flag, a get in the hole might be appropriate.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
All right.
But
that's knowing the game.
Right.
That's not just being a J.O.
Right. Sometimes guys do it. They do it on par fives, too.
Right.
Which is just ridiculous. It's 600 yards.
So like, I'm really trying to remove the J.O. factor.
Because
I've seen a ton of these guys at golf tournaments.
Yes.
When the Open was at Marion, these guys heckling Tiger just to be heard. Heckling Sergio Garcia. By yelling fried chicken at him.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the J.O. fact. Like, why?
Right. I do think, though, another thing that, talking about fan behavior, and this is only amongst the rich, because if you're up higher in stadiums, they can't hear you, and even if you're being a jerk, the players, when the people that are low, who got money, now these are guys with cash, that, like that lady who with her man that was yelling at LeBron.
Yes.
I think I think in NBA, at any sport, there should be some sort of limit on what you're allowed to say about the guy. If you want to talk about his play or fine. But if you start, they talk about, I've heard guys talk about guys' mothers.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're
calling
them all kind. There should be some form, even if you hate the guy.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But in arena sports, there's a frenzy that's accepted, right? God, ain't no frenzy. Ain't no frenzy in golf.
No, that's true.
Except for that hole in the Phoenix Open where they had the grandstands and they're encouraging people. And that's good. You're hitting with that sounds just like a baseball hitter has to hit a fast 95 mile an hour fastball with a crowd yelling.
Would you be okay with one tournament a year on the tour not yelling that specific thing? Where rather than quiet was required, it was one tournament for 4 days. Golf fans, you're baseball fans, you're football fans, you're basketball fans, and golfers, if you're playing this one, you have to know that for one tournament a year, guys can go nuts. Would you be okay with that? One tournament per year, not every tournament.
Tournament. They get in the hole?
No, they can like clap and cheer like the whole time.
Before they hit the ball?
The whole time for one tournament where they don't have to do the etiquette.
Right now they allow it for one hole.
No, I'm talking about one
on the PGA tour.
One tournament. All four days, you can cheer.
Those guys wouldn't.
But wouldn't that be fun one time? Because you might bring in a different kind of crowd once a year. That's still money. The guy who might not be so buttoned up. I'm not saying they should be able to run up on the course or anything like that. I'm saying they can just be loud. I think the same thing should apply to tennis, where they should be able to make noise the entire time in tennis. For one tournament a year, you can yell the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Don't be quiet. Don't wait till after the point and then, no. Go nuts. This is the go nuts tournament in golf. This is the go nuts tournament in tennis. And let's see if the ratings or fan reaction or maybe the players get used to it. I would love to see that in those two sports.
All right, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Now, as far as tennis goes, it's interesting. Like, you don't hear anybody, after a guy hits blasts a serve, you don't hear anybody go, that's an ace!
Never.
Right now.
Never. They wait until after the fact.
Because that guy would be ejected immediately.
Immediately.
Meanwhile, that other getting the whole Baba Booey clown.
He's allowed to stay.
Exactly.
It sounds like there's always a few of those guys, too. Like, I don't think it's one guy. I feel like there's like a dozen of those guys.
Because it's contagious. Yeah. They they have to, do what the guy's doing to be injecting.
Yeah. Right. Overall, fans, I think, there's some people are going to call it. I think that overall, we have it pretty good. But there are some things I would like to adjust. Those are fine. I do think that the throwover thing is nuanced. Right. I think it's nuanced.
I always worried about what the payoff is if somebody does that. Like the Booney idiot who will beep at somebody who's on the tee. Like, what's the payoff? What do you get out of that? To be a jerk. No reason to be a jerk in the world, is there?
I mean,
no.
You intentionally be a jerk? What do you get out of that?
But he's saying that it's not really about liking it. He's saying golf has sometimes had some rules that weren't so kind.
So he's that entitles him to beep a horn in front of when a guy's got a backswing? It doesn't make any sense.
So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to get Booney we got to get Booney in here. And he says, yes, it does.
He ruined somebody else's enjoyment.
I think.
Why is that good?
I guess he's saying that basically all golfers have to pay for the sins of golf.
He's the anti-golf. He's the anti-elitist. I get it. I was the same thing, Booney. Now I play golf. Okay, what am I supposed to do? Not like golf?
Once you like it, you like it.
Exactly. I like to play. I like the competition of it.
Oh.
I like to trying to perfect your game.
Speaking of golf.
What?
As soon as I'm vaccinated, I've set it up. I am taking golf lessons.
Oh, you really? Are?
I am. I got the clubs.
Oh, well, my God.
Amazing.
My late father-in-law. But I have clubs now.
And, look at you, man.
And post once it's safe. It's not really about safe because I'm not judging golfers. Once I feel safe, I should say. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's not safe. Once I feel safe, then I will be taking weekly golf lessons
Good luck, man. That's
so exciting.
Together a little bit. I have clubs now.
That's fantastic.
I want to learn the game, but I'm not going to be the type of guy that goes out there and hacks up a course. I have to feel comfortable like I know what I'm doing a little
bit. Right. Yeah, that's fair.
Because I don't feel like I don't react well.
But you also don't want to like get out there and completely embarrass yourself.
Exactly.
Right.
But Booney thinks it's a minor inconvenience, by the way. If it really gets under someone's skin that badly, that it makes it funnier for me.
That's the other thing. Booney, you're a jerk. Like, how's that funny to you? If you're going to ruin somebody else's enjoyment, that's jerkville. I don't understand it.
The Booney Mike rivalry.
What's the payoff for Booney to be a jerk? What do you get out of that? A guy saying his own opinion, he's not coming to your house and messing up your lawn dart game with the relatives in the backyard, is he? That's something you enjoy. Somebody's at the tee. He's enjoying his round of golf. Some jerk like Booney is going to have to beep his horn and then justify it.
Booney says he is not arguing that he's not a jerk. He's owning the jerkdom, but I don't need anyone else to understand.
Wait, what are you going to own jerkdom for? Let's go to Matt Malford. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Love it, guys. Absolutely love it. But want to switch gears back to the Sixers, and I'm a little concerned because I don't care who we get. I don't think there's a chance in hell we can compete against Brooklyn in a seven-game
season. I think there's a chance. Why wouldn't there be a chance?
What, I mean, you know, 5%, 10% chance of winning the series?
No. The Sixers are going to be right in it. With this team, they can compete with them. I think they fall a little short right now.
Have you guys seen the matchups?
Yeah, I've seen it. The Sixers.
I'm a Sixers fan, but I'm a realistic fan.
Matt, the Sixers. And then you Bobby Bowie us, so you're out. All right. Justin in Penns Grove. Justin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Justin.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Justin?
I'm going to talk a little about the Sixers, too. So I was listening to you guys list out who our 8-9 people would be for when we get to the playoff times. And the one name that always stuck out to me is Mike Scott. Is he really a viable backup to Tobias Harris for us?
No, he's not. He's not.
And I think the best option for that, I'm just going to throw a name out there because I know he's on the buyout market right now for maybe getting a veteran minimum, would be Kevin Love. He's a scorer. He's a rebounder. He's someone who can play a little bit of defense when he's motivated, and I think he would be a good backup for us.
I don't have a problem with that.
Also, wanted to talk a little bit about the Kyle Lowry trade. What would we be giving up for that?
Green, Scott. Oh, how come we got an echo in the back?
Do we have to throw a first in there?
First pick, Maxi, Scott, Green.
So then we would have to pick up somebody off to get a backup for Tobias Harris because he's consistently been playing, 38, 40 minutes for us at night?
I agree with you. They would need somebody else.
Yeah, and it's not like there's anybody on the Raptors that we could get them to throw in there. I don't think they have a really good backup for that we
could
throw in there.
No, they don't have anybody. Because the salaries.
LaMarcus Aldridge is out there. LaMarcus Aldridge is a buyout candidate, too.
Yes.
I think he'd want more than a veteran minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he could withstand playing off the bench, to be honest.
Yeah, they're keeping him out to trade him, though.
Are they really?
Yeah.
What are they looking for him?
I don't know. Yeah, he makes a lot of coin.
That is very true. Mm-hmm. I mean, Houston isn't the best sports town right now anyway.
Yeah.
But also, I wanted to congratulate Ty on becoming a golfer now, getting those golfing lessons. Because as a golfer myself, I know it's a mental game, and those are the best things that you can do.
Yeah, well, thanks, Justin. I would love to see Ty become a golfer, get to a golf course. He's ready to tee up, and here comes a car. Beep. Now, there is no way, knowing your temperament, that you would put up with that, that you would enjoy that.
No. Now, Booney says he's a jerksman. He's a jerksman, which is a pretty good line.
Yeah.
Booney jerksman. So you're right. And that's one of the things I'm going to have to decide about the game of golf. If I have the temperament and the patience for the game. But I learned that by how lessons go, because I know I'm going to be spraying balls all over the place. I'm not going to be good because it's not natural for me. Like at the driving range, I'm okay. But like as far as I know, so I'm going to try to take it in stride and get that under control because I get frustrated when I know I'm bad at stuff. Yeah. Even if others think I'm bad, it doesn't bother me. When I think I'm bad, I have real trouble. So I have to work up to it by getting that temperament in order because I know I'm going to be very bad at it at first. And that's a concern.
I completely understand that concern.
Yeah, like, oh, God, I'm being just spraying it all on. I feel guilty.
Because you can't understand it sometimes why it does that. And it'll frustrate you because you think, well, I've been able to master other things. Why can't I master this?
Right. And I know golf's a game where they say you don't own it. They say it about everybody. You don't own it, you borrow it.
Yeah.
Like everybody, like guys say that. Like you never really have it, even when you have it.
Yeah. Now, listen, I know I can't stop traffic. All right.
Right.
So there are times when I know a car is coming my way. Mm-hmm. I have processed it in my brain that there's going to be this hum of a car going by. But then I put it in the recesses. And
so
I'm
ready for it.
I'm still able to complete the shot even though the car noise is coming by.
Right.
Now, put a beep on top of that.
I can see why that would drive you nuts.
You got no chance.
Yeah, I can see.
All right. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it is 3:30. You know what that means. It's an update on the Twitter poll, but it's also Nats news coming your way. We haven't heard Nats news in 3 days, so I'll be interested to hear Nats news today. The Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat, what's the update?
All righty, Mike, over 1,000 votes on this one so far. The Sixers good enough to win the championship as is. 49% say yes, 51% say no.
51% say no.
Yeah, so it just flipped. I think it was 51% said yes earlier.
This is really interesting. Yeah. This is why I wanted to talk to a lot of people who believe either they're good enough or they're not good enough. And it's your interpretation on why you're not good enough or why you are good enough is what I want to hear. I want to hear it through your eyes when you process it. You know my opinion on it. I think I'm looking at it really logically more than anything else. And logically, I think that you can't help but enhance your team if you get one or two of those guys, right? And then you worry about it later. You worry, it may come a time where you go, I shouldn't have got rid of Maxi. But, that's down the road. I think you need to maximize your chances if you are close. And the Sixers are close. Like, I don't understand how somebody could say, well, they're not going to beat the Nets anyway. They're right there. All right, let's go to Nats news. Ladies and gentlemen, these are three stories that Nat has scanned the globe for your perusal and interest, and they could be bizarre, they could be funny, whatever. Here it is, Nat's News.
All right, Mike. First, this is a little bit of like a dental PSA for people. So apparently this dentist has posted this TikTok video to warn that many of us make the same mistake when it comes to brushing our teeth, and it can result in our teeth appearing more yellow. So I don't know if you've ever felt like your teeth are looking yellow and you think that if you brush harder, it's going to make them look a little whiter. That's not the case. Apparently, the outer layer of teeth, known as the enamel, is white. But the next layer is the dentin is yellow. So if the enamel wears away, the yellow will start to show through. And scrubbing them harder will only make it worse. He said many people think that brushing their teeth will make them whiter. Brushing too hard wears away the white teeth enamel. So you will get, apparently, you need to be more gentle with your teeth. And this video went viral, and he shows you how to brush your teeth that, won't wear away your enamel because it makes it more sensitive, too.
Yeah, a lot of people get a hard brush for that.
Yeah, I'm one of these people.
You get the... Because in the past, it was said that the harder is the better.
Right.
But it's really not.
I scrub my teeth.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that that was the opposite of what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Yeah. Because then they went, the edict came down that the hard brush is no good. I remember my dentist kind of, you go either medium or soft these days.
Right.
Yeah. So it's all science. It's an evolving science.
I guess.
You ever gotten your teeth whitened with the tray and stuff?
I haven't done the tray. I've done the white strips.
Do they work?
They do.
See, there's been a lot of advancement. Years ago, my dentist suggested that, so he makes a mouth guard for you.
Yeah.
And you get this, you inject the stuff in there.
Oh, yeah, and then you put the...
And you stick it in there.
Yeah.
And it's all overnight you have that in there.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to whiten your teeth.
But sometimes, do you ever see people get their teeth too white? And then they're like glowing.
Well, they're fake.
I know.
They're veneers.
That was a Ross on a Friends episode.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of.
No, I got a couple veneers in the front, but I didn't get the ultra white ones. I got the natural looking Yeah. Collar teeth.
So that's, yeah, that's a dental PSA for everybody.
Okay.
So next story, if you're in the market for to buy your own island, there's a Scottish island for sale with an opening bid of $111,000. So an auction house announced an entire 11-acre island in the Scottish Highlands will be auctioned online with a starting bid of $111,000. Auctioneer's future property said Deer Island on Scotland's west coast is a space that can be enjoyed with zero chance of intrusion. So it's been owned by the same family for 500 years, and now you can buy it. The closest island is called Éilean Seán. It's owned by the sister of a British businessman, but and they turned it into like a business. But this island is super underdeveloped. It's rocks, trees, and there's nothing on it, and nothing's ever been built on it. And yeah, it's been uninhabited for 500 years, and now you can buy it. And I feel like
Wait a minute, did they live on this island, the people?
No, they just own the island.
Yeah, see, this is a waste of island. I gotta put electricity on that thing.
Yeah,
I gotta get some toilets.
So
I can't even do. I got nothing. I got nothing on this island. I gotta build all that infrastructure.
Well, and they said you have to receive relevant planning permissions from the Scottish government before attempting to build. But I mean,
so if I try to put up a hotel, they're gonna be giving me a hard time on the permits.
I mean, I doubt it. And
yes, they are. I gotta clear the trees.
No. You can probably do anything you want, but how could you? I mean, you put a sewer system in?
That's what I'm saying. How am I get power?
Yeah, it would cost you a zillion dollars.
Man, I need some electricity. And what about the internet? How to get the internet on that island?
I mean, I guess you got to get Wi-Fi or like a hotspot.
Tell you what I'll do for you, Ty. I'll buy you a volleyball. How's that? And then you can talk to it.
That's
No, that's not all right. That's a scam.
No, it's only supposed to sell for between $209,000 and $279,000.
Because you have to do everything yourself after the fact.
But that's a seal on an island.
How do I put it? Yeah, with no sewer, I can't do number one or two.
Well, I mean,
if you got
no bath, no inside toilets.
From scratch, you could buy an island for $150,000. You can go there and you camp for a couple nights. It's where and you say I own an island in Scotland.
Man,
I don't know.
Right?
Then if they run out there, some pirates show up. You got to have a bit of an army. You got to have some defense.
No pirates.
I can't have somebody rolling up on me.
Pirates are going up that way.
Zero chance of intrusion.
Yeah, that's what they say.
And I feel like that's a steal. $200,000 for your own Scottish island.
Danny will go in on it.
You can play cornhole. You roll up and they can have a picnic during the day and then you leave at night.
What am I doing with the trash?
Over.
What am I doing with the trash? Where do I put the trash?
You fish.
I gotta burn the trash.
Yeah, burn it.
But some of it could be plastic.
You watched enough Survivor.
You take the trash with you on the back of the boat.
Yeah,
I'm not a trashman.
What is it? The SS Minnow? Stuck.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea.
It's not, and I feel like I just saw the price, and I was like, I can't believe that's how much an island goes for these days.
Oh, Boomy says you can build a golf course. There'll be no chance of cars.
Oh.
You could think about that. But no. See, the infrastructure would have to be built. So you couldn't just build a golf course. Or you could build a golf course and say the exclusive one-day golf. And, you know, you just go for the day. You know, and make it one of your stops on your Scotland golf trip.
That's right.
Now we're talking as soon as I put in the toilets and stuff.
Yeah. One step at a time. But here's how you're going to get to this island, because the world's first airport for flying cars and drones is opening this year. Urban Airport has chosen to build its first Air One transport hub for autonomous delivery drones and electric flying cars next to the Ricoh Arena in Coventry in the United Kingdom. The futuristic facility will launch later this year. It'll support the delivery drone and air taxi technology and eventually transport cargo and people across the cities.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
That's fascinating.
Yeah, so it's centralized in the UK and it's a historical hub for aerospace and automobile industries. And yeah, they think that this is the wave of the future. It's getting a $1.2 million grant, and it's good for the environment and all this other stuff, but you can park your flying car at this airport, and then maybe you can fly it to the island if you buy it.
That's very cool.
After
I'm in.
So it said the airstrip.
Well, that too. But apparently Hyundai is developing commercialized flying vehicles to be ready by 2028, and they're saying that you could get anywhere in the UK in 4 hours. From this centralized
location.
That's
very cool.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, I'm digging that.
Yeah, they're not going to do that here, though.
Man,
why? We made it to the future.
Invest in that company.
Judy Jetson.
I would too, but they're not going to do it here in America.
This is like the Jetsons.
Because they're worried about it stalling or crashing.
Yeah. Well, no, that's why we got to. It does.
So yeah. They say you end up having a clear.
Could you ever live in England?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I could.
I could live in England.
I could.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All right.
Live on an island. So, yeah, that's the.
All right. Well, thank you for Nat's News today.
Informative, right?
Well, yes. Very, very educational. Nat's News is turning educational.
Yeah, I got to find out. I got to see if I can get a guy to work, an infrastructure guy.
For the island?
For the island?
I would get a loan to get
that's
the island.
That's what I mean, $100,000?
Yeah, $200,000? That's like getting a mortgage. I can get the loan. Then the question is, I need
less
an infrastructure.
Than a house in Fishtown.
I don't know how to do infrastructure.
Do it a little at a time.
First thing I do is get some sort of roadways of some kind. I need, like, if you used to drive around like a golf cart or something, I had to be able to drive something over there.
Mm-hmm.
A
side-by-side or something. No, because I got to feed the horse.
Yeah, I guess you can't bring the horse back and forth to the island.
So I'd have to have something there that I could at least get around, because 11 acres, you can't just walk the whole thing if you're doing infrastructure.
You get a golf cart.
Yeah.
There you go.
But it's rocky terrain, so I probably need one of those side-by-sides, they call them, like those... Wow. All-terrain type vehicle joints.
Yeah.
Because of the rocks and stuff. Because I want to be able to survey my land.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed
to
be
where I want things to be.
Beautiful and tranquil.
Well, I'm sure
it's not a bad size.
It's got to be tranquil.
No,
why
wouldn't
it be tranquil?
I don't know.
All right. Let's go to John in Audubon. Hold on, John. We're going to take a break. We'll get you first up on the other side. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.344 Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's get right back to the callers. John in Audubon joins us. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. I've watched every Sixers game this season, too, and I agree 100% with you. And also what Tyrone said. I don't understand why these people think that the playoffs aren't a complete and total different animal, because they are. The Sixers are right now, the way they're built to win regular season games. But, you know, you're going to be playing teams that are going to punch you in the face, and you got to be able to swing back.
Yeah, listen, they're good.
Right.
I just want to make them better. I can't tell you that they can't win in the playoffs. I really can't. My sense is that one other good player, a pro player, who can make killer shots, puts him over the top.
Exactly. And the one guy, I know you said that if he has to go, he has to go, but I would like them to keep Matisse only because, like Tyrone said, the wing defense.
Yeah, he adds a very good skill. He's an uncanny defensive player. But if they don't want to make the deal, they go, you can keep Maxie. We'll take Thibault. I'm making the deal.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
You know, I'm sorry.
We all know what wins championships, and that's defense, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but you need buckets. You know, team. Yeah,
but the other team from scoring.
Here's the thing: if you can swing the ball from one side to the other and get killer shots, you know, the Sixers, I don't know, are that. You know, they'll make some shots.
Just the basin.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, man.
All right. That takes a lot.
You got it, buddy. Let's go, Drew Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Mike. How you been, buddy?
What's going on? Oh, the first mention of the Flyers today.
Yeah, right. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, well, I think the people are, like, down. They're down on the prospects right now.
Sure. So that's why I called, basically. What do you... You know, I'm looking at the Eastern Conference, the Eastern Division there, and the Flyers are hanging on to that fifth spot. Rangers are right behind them. They're fighting with Boston, Pittsburgh, and who another team there they're fighting with for that final.
I'm really not confident. I got to be honest with you, Drew. I know it, like they're like the way they're losing games. I don't know. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand how you lose 9-0 and 6-1 in 2 of 3 games.
Yeah, no, it's scary, Mike. Their defense is obviously, they're not able to move the puck out of the defensive zone and get any rushes up the ice and get any offensive chances, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. The heat's on Fletcher, like today, they were kind of broiling him that he's got to make a move here.
Well, they definitely need a better puck moving defenseman than what they have, you know, and I guess that's where the whole Matt Niskanen, you know, him retiring kind of altered their plans a little bit, but you can't blame it all on one guy, you know.
No, you can't. You have to correct right now. And so there's a couple guys that their names that are out there. I would expect that he's got to grab.
Yeah, he's got to do something, I think, for the trade deadline to make that push and then hopefully grab that final spot. I mean, even the third spot if they can. But
now they got the they got Jersey coming up, right?
Well, that's a good one. I mean, you're supposed to get your win.
You should get your two. And then I'm sorry. That's not, they don't have Jersey. Wait, they have the Islanders again. They have the Islanders tonight and then Jersey.
Yeah, the Islanders are tough, man. I don't know what it is. I couldn't even name 5 players on the team, but they're pretty good.
And then double with the Rangers, double with Buffalo. So you got a chance to get some points here.
Yeah, no, the points are there for the taking in the next few games. Absolutely, Mike.
All right, man.
Thanks, dude. Later.
All right, Drew. I'm a Flyer fan today. Checking in. Flyer fans have been silent.
You know, I don't like it.
You don't like Flyer fans being silent?
No, because
they're nervous.
Right, but
nervous about what?
Well, they're demoralized more than nervous. They're demoralized that they thought this year was going
to
be different.
But that's why they need to be more vocal, in my opinion.
Yeah, well,
'cause where are they at?
They're sad. They're in sad soup.
They have to let it out. They have to vent.
Yeah, well,
it's healthy. Get feelings out.
Well, yeah, I think they have to speak on it because the team's still can make a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, they don't even need a good defenseman. They just need a passable defenseman. Like, the turnovers are unbelievable. Not that the goalie play's been great, mm-hmm. but every time I turn the Flyers on, somebody's turning the puck over again. Now they bench Ghost. Now they got to go back to Ghost because the replacement for Ghost was worse than Ghost. They need some defense. They turn the puck over those defensemen constantly. Yeah. They're under the gun. It feels like to me like mm-hmm. it seems like they're shorthanded the whole damn game. Yeah. Every time I'm watching them. Therefore, they should be saying, get a deal done and putting public pressure on. That's why I'm saying it's bad that they're silent because that can give some, the fans are okay with it, and that keeps them from putting the pedal down.
Yeah.
And this can't be a wasted season with no playoffs. Because, you know, in hockey, it doesn't matter. Once you get in, maybe something clicks in, but you have to get into the darn tournament.
It would be stunning if they didn't make the playoffs.
Right, off of what they did. Last year. That's what I mean. So they can't just pretend like this is okay to fans. I understand that this is uncomfortable.
I don't think they think it's okay. I just think that they're fractured. Like, they did not expect it. They got hit in the face with a pan here.
Yeah, but take it out on them.
Yeah, well,
don't take it out on yourself.
Flyer fans don't get as angry as other fans.
But they should.
They get bewildered.
All right,
let's go to Norm and Lancaster. Norm, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Norm.
Mike, you're saying the Flyers get bewildered. That's
fans.
The Flyers of today.
Fans.
Oh, you mean the fans?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The fans are bewildered right now on how this season is turning out, and that's not why they're reacting with venom.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why I called. Earlier you were talking about in the home comments, mm-hmm. during the game and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
How do you feel about when you're at a ball game and you got some Drew sitting behind you, and every time there's a pitch, it's strike! Strike! Swing! Swing!
Oh, this swing. The guy who yells swing is a J.O. But baseball lends itself to saying that was a strike. You know, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, same thing as a hockey game, you know, when there was the Broad Street Bullies, when you got somebody from not the home team shouting out like that,
I don't have any problem with arenas that where fans yell out. I don't have a problem with that. I if it's logical, you know, like if they're upset an official's call to yell, yeah, that's fine. If they got, no, it was a walk, yeah, that's fine. That's just part of following the game. But, you know, when you're booing like a legitimate play in baseball where a pitcher's thrown over to first base, like, what's that? That's foolish.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of foolishness in sports.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So what's your annoyance? The guy behind the chids rule behind you?
Yeah. I always get some guy
who yells strike after the pitch?
Or as the pitch is coming.
Oh, he says swing.
Right, to trigger the batter. Swing.
Oh, yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Or strike. Or he says strike.
So let it go. But,
yeah.
You know, when I'm spending a long, hot day in the sun.
Now, have you beefed with the chiz rule behind you?
Well, it depends on who I'm with. You know, if I'm with my son or some neighbors, you know, I try and keep it on the down low.
Yeah.
But if I'm on my own, yeah, Jersey will come out of me, and it doesn't usually.
That's why
they have a courtroom in Philly.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I got you, Norm. See, Norm's an old school Italian because the word chidrul is a southern Italian slang word, meaning literally, this was explained to me once, sperm of the devil.
What is it? To drool? How do you say it?
Yeah. sperm of the devil.
Huh. That's something. You know, how did that originate? Someone just said it and said that's what it was?
No. Wait. No, I'm mixing it up. I'm mixing it up. There's another word that means sperm of the devil. Some Italian will enlighten me. It's not chidrul. Just means idiot. There's a lot. The Italians have a lot of words for idiot.
Okay.
Like chooch, chidrul.
I googled sperm of the devil.
Sperm of the devil is another.
Spasimi?
Yeah, facine.
Facine. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, you're facine.
That's it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, I read it. Yes. I read it phonetically. Spasimi.
We're going into the 4 o'clock hour. Rich Hoffman is going to join us. We'll talk some Sixers live. The man who covers the Sixers for the Athletic after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock, Mike Missinelli Show, 4 o'clock hour, brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Sixers with a big win last night, a game they probably shouldn't have won, but, you know, people looking at it like, you know, they're playing okay without Embiid. What are they, 6-6 without Embiid?
I think they've won 4 of the last 5.
And so people get very encouraged that the team overall is good enough. So when Embiid comes back, you match him up in the playoffs against the top-notch teams. They think without a deal, they could be good enough. Let's get our next guest in here who will have a better opinion on that. He covers the Sixers for the Athletic. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline, and his name's Rich Hoffman. Hello, Rich.
Hey, Mike.
Well, Rich, you know that there are people that are thinking that they're good enough. These wins without Embiid are proving that overall their talent level is a lot better than maybe people think, and they can go into the playoffs without even touching this roster. What do you think?
I certainly think it's been an encouraging stretch for them. You know, it's something that, frankly, it came out of nowhere. Like the, you know, how they've played without Embiid, I think everybody who's followed this team knows. You know, for 3 or 4 years, it's been terrible. And even at the beginning of this season, they looked hopeless. And you know, for them to, you know, get 20 minutes from him post All-Star break and to be 6-1 and to not have Ben Simmons for half of those games too, this stretch has completely come out of nowhere, but it's certainly more encouraging. I'm not sure I'm all the way there of, okay, this makes them a bona fide title contender with this team, but it certainly has given me a better opinion of this group.
All right, we'll look at a possible acquisition in a little bit, but who is making the biggest difference when you see this team without Embiid? Who is really stepping up to pull the weight?
I would say it's a team effort. I think if you just look at when you don't have Embiid, you don't have Simmons, everybody moves a notch up. So I would say to start, you know, Tobias Harris did not play quite as well last night. He's probably number one for me. You know, you get a game like the Kings game on Saturday night, and that dude is completely in control. And it's funny, you know, I remember at the beginning of the season, Doc Rivers and Tobias talking about, you know, quicker decision making. It really feels like he's doing the same stuff he had done in past years. He's just doing it better. And so that's number one. Like, he's certainly to have a player who I'm pretty confident in throwing the ball to, you know, at the end of games, to have that option. That's a big one. But, like, just go down the list, Mike. I think Matisse Thybulle's defense, you know, you throw him on De'Aaron Fox the other night. You have him playing against the Knicks in a rock fight. I've been impressed by him. Dwight Howard has played much better than he had played in the past couple of months. So, really, I would just say it's like an overall team effort.
Your point about Tobias Harris, he attacked almost every possession last night offensively. Now, he didn't have a great game, but he had the mindset that, all right, I'm the best guy out here to carry this team. And I hadn't seen that from him.
Yeah, and, you know, I think last night was a little bit of an issue that you might see in the playoffs. Like, they had played, they got back Ben Simmons, and they were also playing Howard and Thybulle at the same time. And, you know, despite really all of those guys playing pretty well, the spacing is pretty rough on that. And not having Curry and not having Embiid, like, if you run an ISO for Tobias Harris, the paint is going to be crowded with three non-shooters. I think the hope would be in the playoffs, all right, you get Curry back, you have Embiid, maybe you have more of a stretchier wing group there, that he'll be able to attack. I love how he's been playing recently, and frankly, it's reminded me of what works in the playoffs, like the old LeBron James, find the worst defender, and if you're going to switch, then switch him on to Tobias Harris and let Tobias go to work. It's certainly not rocket science, but Doc Rivers seems to subscribe to that being the best offense.
And Shake Milton awakened last night a little bit. He had been struggling, but he showed some aggression last night, so that's going to be key.
Really important. You know, he's had an up and down season. He's weirdly not shot the ball well this year, and I thought after last year and the flashes he had shown even as a rookie that he was going to be, you know, a 40% three-point shooter. And that's really important for him because, you know, I always make the joke, despite his name, he doesn't quite have the shape to break guys down off the dribble. That's not his best element, but everything else is really skilled. And, it's funny, you know, when we talk about the trade pieces and you talk about the younger players, I've always kind of said Shake Milton is too important to the Sixers team to put him in those trade talks for the most part, just because, you know, he is their main cog off the bench. And maybe he's a little bit overstretched sometimes, and that is a reason for his up and down play. But I think he's going to play in the playoffs, and I think he is a valuable commodity for this team.
All right, let's get to the people that they might be able to acquire. Interesting, Shams Charania had this Houston Rockets tidbit in here where he said the Rockets' asking price for Victor Oladipo is believed to be a quality first-round pick or a good young player. Although teams around the league wonder whether Houston settles for second-round compensation. By that measure, would a Sixers first-round pick in either Maxey or Thybulle get them Oladipo?
I think it would be a fairly competitive offer. I guess the problem with Oladipo is similar to one with like Kyle Lowry. Are you going to get up to his salary? And that would take, you know, Houston bringing on multiple players because the Sixers don't have the massive big contract that they're trying to trade. But, you know, like I would just say overall when it comes to any of these top of the line guys, which are not, you know, the James Harden level players, but the top of the line guys that are available now, the Sixers are going to have about as competitive of an offer as a lot of these teams. Because if you look at the teams like Milwaukee, the teams like Brooklyn, the LA teams, they're tapped out when it comes to draft compensation. And, you know, while the Sixers, they're not sitting on the Sam Hickey arsenal from a few years ago, they have contracts and they have their first round picks and they have the young guys like Maxey and Thybulle, then I think they're going to be in the sweepstakes for a lot of these guys if they want them.
Yeah, I guess I asked you that question because we had been talking about if you acquire Lowry, you know, Clark, and the two guys that have to go that I didn't include, Green and Scott, would make up the salary, and then the first round pick, and one player as opposed to two players. And I'm just curious to know whether is the asking price less for Oladipo than it would be for Lowry?
I would think so, just because, you know, there's not as much of an attachment with Oladipo in Houston. You know, he just got there. Do they actually want him for the long term? But I will say, like, this has broken well for the idea of Kyle Lowry being available. I mean, the Raptors have had kind of their season go down the tubes because of COVID, because they're playing in Tampa, whatever, all of these reasons. Like, they are fighting for their play-in lives right now. And, you know, you have a guy like Masai Ujiri. You know, I'm not sure Kyle Lowry, like, explicitly wants to leave there, but I could certainly see those two sides coming together and saying, okay, like, I think it is time to move on at this point, and, you know, let's see the best place. But, yeah, I think they're probably about the same. Both of them seem gettable.
Okay, so neither one, you wouldn't favor one or the other to help the Sixers more?
I would favor Lowry.
You would favor Lowry. Okay. All right. Now, here's the other question. If the Toronto Raptors don't do the deal, unless you include Thybulle, who has now carved out a nice little defensive niche and who you just lauded, do you back out of that deal? Or would Thybulle be included in the deal and you wouldn't have a problem with it?
Yeah, that's the tricky part. And, you know, the Sixers have their first-round picks and the two logical young players slash sweeteners that you would throw in are Thybulle and Maxey. And, with Matisse, it's tricky, right? Because his defense, I think he has certainly graduated past a certain level of trait, like a bench player, a mid-level trait. I don't think you're going to see Thybulle in for it. But to get a player like Lowry, who I think could make a really big difference to this team with his, you know, his IQ and his shooting, then you start to ask the question, all right, are we going to be able to play Matisse in the playoffs on offense? Is his shooting good enough? Or, you know, is acquiring someone like Lowry, is that going to make his defense less important in the playoffs? And, you know, those are the questions that Daryl Morey has to solve. That's why he gets paid a lot of money. But I would certainly imagine that Toronto wants him included in that trade.
All right, last question is this. If they get one of those guys, whether it's Lowry, whether it's Oladipo, what's the rotation at that point? They would have to add another bench player, I would assume. I don't know who that would be, but what would be the sensible 8-man rotation?
Yeah, and that's the tricky thing, right? Because you mentioned it earlier, you just have to throw Danny Green in the trade because you're not going to be able to make the salaries work. And, you know, I know Danny Green has, let's call it, a frustrating playing style. You know, you can hear it already with the fans at the arena.
Uh-huh.
They're starting to give him the Covington groans when he misses a couple, which is, you know, it's understandable. He's a hot and cold shooter. But that guy is, like, he's shooting pretty close to 40%. He plays okay team defense. He is not, you know, nothing. Like, he would play in a playoff rotation. Maybe he's not a starter, he's a bench player. So, yeah, so if you were to acquire, like, let's say Lowry, okay, so you put Lowry in the starting spot for him, but do you move Thybulle too? Because I would say he was part of the rotation too. So I guess the way, Mike, I would have it as, like, let's slot Lowry into Danny Green's spot.
Uh-huh.
Shake Milton is probably going to play. I think the hope would be that you could get somebody from the buyout market, you know, and say maybe somebody could slip through the cracks, whether that's a 3-and-D wing or a shooter or whatever. And then the last guy would be, I guess it would be Dwight Howard at this point. I'm a little concerned about his fit with Ben Simmons in the playoffs, but that to me seems like the
okay.
The
so so team. Your starters will be Lowry, Ben, Curry, and B. Tobias off the bench. Howard, Shake, and a TBA is your main rotation.
That's what I'm looking at.
Okay. Right. All right, we'll see. This is very intriguing, man. We'll see. I can't wait to get to the trade deadline to see what this guy's going to come up with. Very interesting.
It's certainly interesting when you have somebody who likes to trade as much as Daryl Morey.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to disappoint Mike if I had a guess.
All right, Rich, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
See you, man.
Rich Hoffman, Athletic. He joined us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Don't just bounce back, bounce forward with Comcast Business. Interesting. A TVA.
And that's the one thing, in the calculus in the trade, where I agree with you. You can, well, I know you can get another Maxi, especially this Maxi. Maxi may develop. I'm saying Thibel's more challenging for that reason. Because you're taking a risk, a leap of faith, that you're just going to find a wing. Because if you lose two wings and you're replacing them with a guard, you then, in the short term, You're thin on the wings.
Yeah.
You're thin the wings.
Probably why people are saying they're okay the way they are, because then you run into this little problem.
Now, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying that you have to think. You love the second level. You have to get to that second level and figure out what else you're going to do. You can't just stand pat, because otherwise you laid it out. There would be no Thibel. There's no Green. Korkmaz then must play.
Yes.
He would have to play, because you can't trust IJ and Joe yet.
He would have to play.
He would have
and now,
to play.
If you can somehow, this is really interesting, if you somehow can make the deal and preserve Thibel, you can then, Thibel would be part of a like 8.5 rotation. You get the ninth guy and he can play defensive minutes. And then it would be between Korkmaz and a TBA.
No, no. If you kept Thibel.
Kept Thibel, that's eight.
Then right, so then it's Shake, Thibel, Howard as your bench.
Yeah.
And then right, and then Korkmaz is 8.5. I can live with him 8.5.
Right, so Korkmaz is over a TBA?
No. What I'm saying is that, and then I can still add a TBA. I'm not. It doesn't stop me from adding a TBA, but I don't have to rely on. I'll know that with Lowry and Curry, I would then at that point I would start Thibel and then have Curry off the bench to that way when Dwight Howard's in the game, Curry's also in the game to try to break up that spacing issue. I'm just trying to work this out in real time.
I would think Korkmaz. In Doc's mind, I would think Korkmaz is part of the rotation anyway. Don't you think?
But the thing is, he starts, but then he ends up playing. He trusts Thibel to play more minutes. So even though he'll start Korkmaz, at the end of the game, Thibel lately has played more. So my guess is he trusts Thibel more than Korkmaz, even though he makes him like the starter.
So you don't think Korkmaz being a playoff rotation?
I do not. Hmm. Not automatically. Now, I think there's times where he might play nine, but...
Yeah.
I think it would be between TBA, and now that we know it won't be Tucker, and Korkmaz. But I can live with Korkmaz as a swing maybe guy versus second man off the bench. It's got to be Korkmaz 7 playoff games in a row. That scares me.
Yeah.
Even with Lowry, that scares me. That's why I would prefer them to fall in love with Maxi for this year so that I can preserve Thibel, because then I know how I'll play my rotation. It's up in the air. If you lose Green and Thibel,
it's conditioned because Maxi all of a sudden got early minutes.
Yeah,
is it possible that the early minutes like coincide with this trading deadline here?
I hope not. I would like to think it was because of the Curry injury.
Yeah,
but I would like to think, and Embiid and all that, and Bradley's not playing well, so they've been going smaller. I'd like to think that. But I can't, unfortunately, rule it out.
Yeah.
And it would bother me. In a perfect world, they trade Danny Green and some other pieces, and they keep both guys. But I just don't know if it's possible.
All right. Let's go to Ryan in media. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Ryan?
Yeah, so I was – and the interview you just had was actually really fascinating. But I'm really concerned. Like, I think they should give up a couple of pieces to kind of – bring on a defensive piece. Like, you know, I saw PJ Tucker just got brought on by Milwaukee, and like I don't know, what do you think? Like
why do you think you need more of a defensive piece?
I think they're fine offensively. If Embiid keeps playing the way he's playing, we hope.
They're pretty highly ranked defensively in the league though.
Well, I know he's older and whatever, but I guess...
No, as a team, Yeah, they're second in the NBA defensive metrics.
Well, yeah, but with the trade deadline coming up, like, I guess, what kind of pieces are you trying to give up?
I'm trying to get a big player who can make killer shots. I'm trying to get a guard like Oladipo or a Kyle Lowry. That's who I'm getting.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm not
looking for a fledgling defensive piece at this point. I need an impact player.
Well, okay, so, but I guess, like, so you're so, like, you'd rather give up, you know, a Maxi. I would rather give up
a Maxi. Frankly, I'd give up Maxi and Thibault to get Kyle Lowry.
Well, no, I don't want Kyle Lowry. I have nothing to do with Kyle Lowry. I think he's too old. I don't want that contract.
What do you care about the contract? The contract means nothing. They would be trading guys away to match the salary of Kyle Lowry. You don't think the way Kyle Lowry's playing, especially, you don't think he would help?
No, he would help, absolutely. But
why wouldn't you want him?
But like, just listening to the interview you just had, like, I think I would rather give up Maxi for Victor Oladipo. You know,
You like Oladipo more than Kyle Lowry, but either guy makes you better than what you are, don't you think?
Yes. The point I'm trying to make, I guess, is I would rather give up, if we're going to give up a Maxi or a Thibault, I would rather do that for an Oladipo rather for an older player like Kyle Lowry, which, yes, I would like Kyle Lowry, but at the same time, like, we should probably...
Well, all you care about is this year, though, Bo. Because you're probably going to lose Oladipo, too. Like, that could be a one-year guy.
Well, so I guess, Mike, I want to ask you, like, should we go all in? Like,
that's what I'm asking you. You don't sound like you want to go all in.
I guess I'm a little, like, giving up the assets to, you know, like.
Well, the assets versus the let me just go this way with you. The assets versus increasing your chances to win a championship. Put that on your scale there. And what comes out, what weighs heavier?
Well, Mike, but like, we got to run into, like, in the Eastern Conference Finals, let's say we get there. You know, we got to run into James Harden, Kevin Durant.
I understand the parameters. Like, you, if this and that, you get right. The only thing you can control right now is to make yourself better versed to win than not. Right? Am I missing something here? Like, so the assets don't mean a thing to me. If you think a piece like Lowry Oladipo makes you able to win a title, you can't squander that chance. I mean, they don't come around very often. You'll cross the assets bridge when you come to it. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I think that some fans are so convinced that the Nets are unbeatable that they don't think the Lowry trade would make a difference.
And I don't know how people could say that because they haven't even seen what the Nets are.
Right, and we don't know if Durant, because I can tell you, if Durant doesn't get right, you will beat that team for sure, and then you got to worry about the West. Because I don't trust those two guards on their own with the lack of defense in a seven-game series. But I think some people are conceding to the Nets, and if you really believe that, then I can understand why they're basically saying they're not close. If you're making that argument, then I guess you don't make a trade because if you don't think it'll make any difference. I think the Sixers are damn close.
I do too. And you see that with the Nets, you're basing it on speculation because it's not like these three guys have come on the floor and you go, oh my God, that's a killer squad. We haven't even seen it yet. So you're counting on speculation that they may be this killer team in the playoffs, but you also know you're close. So you got to maximize your chops.
Like, that's the part. The Sixers keep on winning. So we should notice that, like, this is a really well-coached team with some set in stone pieces.
Yeah.
Let's put around somebody else with the set in stone pieces of Embiid, Simmons, and Tobias because you know you have them. They're there. So what can you do to add to them? And they're also not going anywhere in your asset forfeiture. Mm-hmm. They're going to be here. So what can you do around them? To me, that's the approach. I think they're very close. Other people I don't think that.
You're selling Kyle Lowry short. The guy is just a stone killer. And you know you can count on in the playoffs. He's going to make killer threes for you. He's going to take a charge. Dude is tough. Yeah, I know he's older, but he's still playing at a very high level right now for them. All right, 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, time for an update on our Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. With Natalie Agonoff, Nat.
All right, Mike, over 1,100 votes on this one today. Are the Sixers good enough to win the championship as is? And we're still at the numbers we were. 330, 49% say yes, 51% say no.
All right. Thank you very much. Carson Wentz was on this podcast thing with McAfee, the ex-punter.
Yeah, Pat McAfee. Yeah.
He's like a media darling now. And I mentioned it last week. He curses a lot. That's his thing. And so I got into like a semi-tongue-in-cheek little back and forth with him on Twitter where he, in this interview with Wentz, he cursed with Wentz. And so I jabbed him and I sent a tweet out saying, man, talking to a man of God, he still had to curse. You know, I mean, it was just fooling around. But he took it seriously and then a couple of his minions came at me. So first of all, so on that front, if you're a guy who curses a lot, and I do, I know when not to curse. Like I know, like for instance, I've been around Vi Sekahema. And Vi's a Mormon and he doesn't curse. And he prefers that people don't curse around him. So you respect other people, right?
Right.
I've never cursed around him. Even though in normal conversation, you would throw out a curse word every now and then. Yeah, but your brain says don't do it.
Right. Just like I would be careful with the movie references when I was around him because he doesn't watch any movie that's above PG-13. Well, so yeah, if it was an R-rated movie, I wouldn't talk about
Vi. So the point is you know your audience, right? And I would think that if you're a curser and you're talking to Carson Wentz, the one thing you know him as a very religious man, it probably would not be proper to curse. He wrote back, God made me as he made me or whatever. I'm going, yeah, well, God would also like you to do the right thing. And, like, it's probably not... are you incapable of respecting another guy? But that's the minor point. The major point is what Wentz said here in this interview, that apparently he's got some Eagle fans cheesed for reasons that I don't completely understand. So, Wentz is saying how happy he is to be in the Midwest. Now, we have a brain. We can figure he's more of a Midwest guy than he would be a Philly guy, right?
Yeah.
So it's
from
not,
North Dakota.
Right.
Yes.
It's not a shock. So he says, from a family standpoint, I've got an 11-month-old baby, got a wife, and my wife is actually from Kentucky. So our whole family is 2.5-hour drive away. It feels like us. It feels like our culture, our values, and our kind of vibe, so to speak. So Eagle fans weren't happy. Anyway,
right,
he goes,
a lot of them stopped there, didn't bother to realize that wasn't the whole statement, and goes, they should boo him whenever he's 200 miles within the city. He's the worst human being. He's the worst guy ever.
Yeah, so he goes, like, Bill McAfee asked him, if you ever proceed to come into bleep in Philadelphia. No, I don't think he said the bleeping part, but I could see where he was. Would be a culture shock when he was drafted by the Eagles. It crossed my mind, Wentz said. I mean, it's a different world out there in the Northeast. North Dakota is a different world. Everyone just thinks it's a frozen tundra, and we live in igloos, which isn't true, by the way. It's a beautiful state. As for the Philly area, he said he enjoyed his time there. I love the place, love the area, but it's very different. Well, yeah, I thought it would be different for that dude.
Right.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I would think that if somebody was from here, and they went to the Midwest, and they asked about
it would be different.
Man, you know, it was different. When I came here, it was a lot slower. It was different for me. I don't think that would mean you're saying, I hate it.
No.
He didn't say that. Right, people are inferring.
We have a chip.
Yeah.
And so anything irritates the chip. So when he says it feels like us, it feels like our culture, our values, and our kind of vibe, Philly fans take offense to that. Why wasn't this your vibe? Couldn't you have made it your vibe?
But he was speaking to where he is now.
Yeah.
So if he was here, he wouldn't say that.
No, he wouldn't. And it's totally like he's being honest. I'll be honest with you. I thought the same thing. When they traded him to Indianapolis, it's like when Andy Reid went to Kansas City, I go, he's going to be perfect for Kansas City.
Yeah.
And it has worked out.
Yeah,
the barbecue thing, he's leaning into that. The burgers, he's leaning into that. The crazy shirts.
Certain geographical areas are a better fit for certain people.
His personality came out the moment he got to in a way that never came out here, the moment he got to Kansas City.
Oh, absolutely.
Andy Reid all of a sudden is this affable guy.
Yeah.
And he wasn't affable here. He got there and he changed. That's just the reality. And if you're from here, you might hate it in the Midwest.
Could you imagine dropping me in North Dakota?
Oh, my goodness.
I've literally never lived outside of the city of Philadelphia.
Green Bay, anywhere. Green Bay to cover, now you're doing something for the Packers.
For the Packers, yeah.
I think you would have a tough time.
It's not a slight against that, but I've lived here my entire life. It would be like putting me on a different planet.
Right.
It's just a change.
Yeah, for 23 years.
Doesn't mean it's a bad thing with where that is.
Right. For 23 years, he was in Dakota. And then he gets dropped in Philadelphia from Dakota as the starting quarterback.
Yes.
And it wasn't supposed to be different. You're damn right it's different. To me, like, just say he played bad. We know he played bad. Like, that's it. Stop trying to fake like he's the worst human being ever born.
Yeah, because he's really not.
Played bad. That's all it was. He played bad. That's all it was. He's not a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a bad person. He was just a bad quarterback. That's the whole story.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Now, the other thing that's on my mind before we get to back to the phones. Did you see the ex-wife of Jeff Bezos, Mackenzie Scott? Right?
Nah, I didn't see
this. Wait, what happened?
What did she do?
Well, she got married again.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
she married a guy who was a former teacher at Harrison High School in Lower Marion Town.
What?
Well, there you go.
Where Andy Reid's kids went to school, and I assume this guy taught them. But his name's Dan Jewett. He's now a high school teacher in Seattle. And he married Mackenzie Scott, so he married into how many? 54 billion.
Yeah.
That's great.
See? I mean, look, sometimes the simplicity.
Natalie was out when we talked about that.
Yes.
We mentioned that last week if Mike could like.
Yes. Like this guy hit the jackpot. And first of all, she's very attractive.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's worth $54 million. She's just a common teacher. Yeah. Like, how's this?
Billion dollars.
Her kids went to the school he taught at in Seattle.
See that?
I mean,
guys?
He's probably just a nice person. And sometimes that's just what you want.
The other part is, if she had married a rich guy, there would have been some money transactions that have to happen. By marrying a regular guy, it actually helps her keep more of the money.
He went to Harrison High School and taught
that's a private school, right?
No. It's a public school.
That's a public school?
Yeah, there's Lower Marion and there's Harrison. They're two public schools.
So a regular public school teacher.
Yes.
And
a public school teacher.
Good for see guys out there. Just keep your mind right.
54 million. Come on, man.
54 billion.
$54 billion.
Yes, that's 1,000 million 54 times.
What are you doing today, hon? I'm playing golf. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm not doing is working.
I'm not working. I mean.
I'm not working.
That's exactly what I mean.
She's already donated like $5 billion to all these organizations, too. That's good for them. They're probably both just do-gooders. And I can't imagine Bezos was a deal with.
He teaches at a private school in Seattle. So he taught chemistry from 2002 to 2011 at Harrington.
Okay.
He's a chemistry teacher, right?
And so he now he taught at Lakeside School, a private school in Seattle, Scott's children attend.
Man. Okay.
It's a shame that she's a little older, because he could really seal it if they could have a kid, but that's not going to happen.
Well, how old is she?
I thought she was in her 50s. I thought she was. I could be wrong. I thought that's what they said with the divorce.
He was a really popular teacher at Harrington, apparently.
Well, he's a good teacher.
Students will work out. He deserves anything he gets. He was such a great guy. Well,
and that woman that drove the wedge between Bezos and her, That woman, apparently the family warned Jeff, like, you got to be careful with this woman. That they said that she was like one of those women where if she targets you, you don't have a shot. So maybe don't ever get in her path. And apparently once he got in the path, Jeff was just, he couldn't stop.
I bet the teacher dropped a pickup line on her.
He might.
Want to hear it?
Yeah, sure. There we go. Going to get a rim shot or a boo.
He said, forget hydrogen. You're my number one element.
Oh, that's nice. Actually,
it's cute. What's wrong with that?
It's not. Come on.
It actually is kind of clever.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's kind of clever.
You must be you made of uranium because I can see you and I together.
I like that one.
All right.
A little better. I like that one a little better.
So this guy is a former student at Harrington, said, of all the teachers I've ever had in my life, if you had to pick one, I would want to marry a billionaire. It would be Dan Jewett. He loved his students, he loved helping us, and he loved imparting knowledge.
See, that the good guy doesn't have to finish last.
There you go.
Because he's finishing first.
Congratulations, my man.
This came out because...
And woe is me.
Mike, it's not over, Mike. We talked about this, Natalie, because remember the guy who was deemed the hot inmate?
Yeah.
He's in a movie. And we were giving out passes. We were giving out money, gift cards.
Right, okay.
But the guy's in the movie, and he ended up impregnating a billionaire heiress.
Oh, yeah.
And then Mike was wondering where was his heiress.
Mm-hmm. Right, I mean.
So she's still out there.
There's still
few and far between, but you probably got there's not that many of them out there.
Like, we're a hot, it's hot, hard to skip find. And jump from had, a free I world so, soon.
McKenzie Scott could have rolled into Philly. I could have had $54 billion. I'd marry her in 3 seconds
flat. Would you still work here if you had that kind of money?
Hell no. Let's go back to the phone. It's Kelly. All right, let's take a break. Kelly will be next. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:45 on the Mike Missinelli Show, updating your NCAA tournament. I know all your brackets are messed up. That's why I was saying this is going to be the most unusual NCAA tournament because you just can't get a beat on anybody. Oregon beat Iowa. Big Ten, disgraceful. 95-80, beating by 15. Gonzaga is about to close out a win over Oklahoma. And what's going on there?
Oklahoma with a dirty play. Yeah, the dirty play, a guy comes down and pushes Suggs down. Suggs, I was surprised, didn't got up and defended himself, flagrant one, and now it's sour grapes because they got it within 9, and then Gonzaga pulled away, and now they're a little angry, so they got a little too physical. But Gonzaga, which I didn't know, kind of had each other's back. That makes me think maybe they have a little bit more toughness out there.
They're the best team.
But undefeated, weighing on them.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. 5:15. This is interesting. Abilene Christian and UCLA. Now, UCLA stinks out loud, right? And here they find themselves in this situation. They win the first game. They win the playing game. Win the first game. And then they have Abilene Christian to get to the Sweet 16.
They played terribly against Texas and still won. But they stink.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, can UCLA actually lose to Abilene Christian? Can Abilene Christian win another game and they're playing UCLA? Like, what?
From what I saw, some of these other teams, like Oral Roberts, look like they were underseeded. It looks like they might have a couple pro players on that squad. Abilene Christian showed me nothing. Just Texas was just dreadful. That was the worst. It was a bad basketball game. I don't think they have a chance in hell to win another one. At this point, keep going crazy. Win again, I don't think
so. And Ohio U creating a 6'10". Does Ohio U have the kid that was a sports writer? You see the story about the kid?
No.
What did he do?
The kid was a sports writer.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't good enough in high school, but then he started covering sports for something, and he built himself up to the point where he somehow got an invite to, I think it was Ohio U. It's somebody still in the tournament. I can't remember the damn story of the kid, but somebody out there will. Like, he started out covering basketball, like, out of school, didn't get a college scholarship, and then grew and enhanced his game and somehow found his way into
onto the team.
What's his name?
Oh, wait, hold on.
I was reading this story. I thought it was Ohio U, but maybe not.
No, it is.
Is it Ohio U?
Yeah. Wait, hold on.
Anyway, they're playing so. Creighton. They're an underdog to Creighton, but Creighton, you never know that team. The coach, are they going to play for him? Who knows? All right, let's go to Kelly in Germantown. Kelly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kelly.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Kelly?
Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay, I had a suggestion, and maybe Tyrone could look into this. What about Wayne Ellington? That name has not been thrown around.
He's a nice piece. He's not. He wouldn't be a major upgrade for him.
He's averaging over 5 threes per game off the bench.
Yeah, he's a bench player who can give you 20 minutes. But you know, we're talking about a more substantial difference player.
Okay,
that would not, in my view, be enough.
You don't think? Okay, I figured with his 20 points coming off the bench, I mean, he surely killed.
He's not going to give you 20 off the bench.
Well, maybe Tyrone will look into it. What was his streak of 3-pointers off the bench?
Wayne Ellington. Listen, he makes a three. He's not going to score 20 a game for you. He's going to make a couple threes off the bench for you in 20 minutes of playing time.
Okay. I just figure.
He could help him. If they added him with Lowry, then, I like that.
But if you had Kyle Lowry and it comes down to two to three seconds left in the game, now, you got to take Ben off the court. You don't think that's going to work?
No, you're never taking Ben off the court in that situation. Come on.
So you're going to have 2 point guards on the floor?
No, you're going to have Ben on the floor for defensive purposes and him distributing and getting to the basket. You wouldn't take him off.
Well, I mean,
Ellington would not be on the bench in the waning on the floor in the waning minutes.
Okay. I just figured when the game on the line, why would you have Ben out there and he can't score? You need scorers out there.
No, he won't be taking Ben off the floor. That would be ridiculous at this point. You don't take him off the floor.
Screener, he could drive, and then and him and Lowry would play together, by the way, after the trade.
There's days of taking Ben off the floor. No, forget about him. John and Del Rian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, John? How you doing?
Good, great. I want to backtrack a little bit. I wanted to call earlier, but something Tyrone brought up about golf and having one tournament where the fans kind of just get to go nuts. So I'm a pool player, and they actually have one tournament a year where the fans can just go haywire. And pool's a lot like golf. You got to quiet. No sounds, no pictures, no nothing. And honestly, it's the best tournament of the year.
Yeah, I it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen in golf.
I'm not
saying it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it is the greatest. It's the most viewed. All the fans love it. Even the players love it. It's just. Only because it's once a year.
Yeah. Well, pool players are cut from a different cloth than pampered, spoiled golfers. You know, they wouldn't embrace it at all.
Oh, no, I hear you. I just, like I said, I heard it earlier. I've never called you before. I was like, you know what? This is something I can kind of touch base on.
No, so, I mean, it's cool. Pool players have, pool players have been a little more hard scrabble than golfers. You know what I'm saying?
No, I hear you. I mean, There's similarities when viewing the game, though. As fans, you get in the respect, you stay quiet. But there's, like I said, there's one tournament year, four days long.
It sounds interesting. They should have that on television. You know, with fans roaring of her billiard players. All right, I found the guy. His name is Jason Preston.
Oh, yeah.
Plays for Ohio U.
Yeah.
He's a former sports writer. And his story is very interesting on how he got to be a college player, an important college player in the NCAA tournament. He contracted the Detroit Pistons prior to his senior year of high school. And he wrote for the Fansided Network on the Pistons.
Oh, yeah. They're a pretty big like digital publication.
He's a 6 foot guard who weighs 140 pounds. He averaged 2 points a game in high school. So he decided to pursue. He enrolled at UCF to become a sports writer. And apparently he wound up ditching journalism school after one summer to prep school, earned a scholarship offer based on his Twitter highlights. And then now he's playing for Ohio U.
That's amazing. See, you never know.
Yeah. Now I kind of want.
Why? Because he had two points in high school?
Yeah,
he grew to 6'4", and he's a playmaker. He averages 16.6 a game for Ohio
U. Just needed some height.
Yeah, I hope Ohio U loses by 40.
Why?
I don't know. The story hits me different.
Why? You don't like that story?
Nah.
Why? What did he do wrong?
These other guys are toiling, playing, working hard all the time. He just walks on the court.
He just wasn't tall.
He didn't walk on it. Well,
disrespecting the game.
He attracted some attention because he worked hard at it.
Doing some of the videos.
He just hit puberty later or something. He didn't have his growth spurt until later.
It's going to be hard for me to root for Creighton, but I hope Creighton by 40.
You're the only guy that can look at a story like this and be sour on it.
It made me go, well, he doesn't really respect the game. Do I want him winning if he doesn't respect the game?
He doesn't respect the game. He just wasn't good enough at it, and then he made himself good enough. You just don't get a scholarship because you stayed.
He respected it also by acknowledging that he wasn't good at it and, you know, trying a different path. But then he still worked at it.
It's not like Tim Tebow trying to play or Michael Jordan trying to play baseball. The kid earned his way.
It's a little bit like that.
No, it isn't. He shows some talent.
He's played well, and I'm glad he's played well. I hope he scores 30 and his team loses by 30. So it's the best of you guys are happy and I'm happy.
There's something wrong with you, man. Well, my man, I mean, love that the game wasn't good enough to play it. All of a sudden, he became good enough to play it. You don't admire that?
I hope he puts up a 30 spot tonight.
But you hope Ohio you lose.
Well, big.
Because you don't like it.
Play a game that with this. Like, get player.
You don't want the Bobcats advancing anymore.
Do you like Sister Jean?
I do not.
I knew that. See?
Well, I like that's that.
I got to be honest. I'm tired of the Sister Jean thing.
I mean, it is kind of miraculous.
I didn't know she was still around, frankly.
I mean, God bless. I'm glad she's still with us.
Right.
But, like, that doesn't make... Yay, Sister Jean's happy. Like,
because this is along the same lines as, like, this is very Sister Jeannie, in a way.
But I know. I feel like Sister Jean's had her moment. Like, this kid is like...
She still has it,
I hope she lives forever.
Can't knock her.
And that team has a great coach who needs a better job than he currently has. Because he can coach.
Yes, he can.
But,
was she 100?
I don't know. I don't know. They get the cameraman. All right, let's go to camera 3. Again with this, he's probably saying.
The players don't even get shown.
You want me to keep the camera on this woman the whole game?
They're cutting away while the shot's in the air, Mike. Shot's in the air. That's showing this. You don't even know the shot with it.
Oh, she's 101. Pardon.
I hope she lives 150. But I don't. No.
God bless.
Can I take a picture of a fan cheering?
Right.
I haven't moved this camera all day. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
5 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussolini Show, brought to us by Guided Door and Window. You buy any window or door, you'll get the second one at 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit GUIDA.com. Tyrone, this story is amazing, man. I'm delving into it a little deeper now.
Well, yeah, somebody during the break told me a big detail that y'all left out.
Well, I didn't know that part.
What?
The kid lost both his parents.
Oh, well, so now you feel bad for it? You don't like the story of him, like, making the team?
No, doesn't have parents, that explains a lot about why he didn't make it in sports. He didn't have parents.
All right, so here's the story, okay? He graduates high school. He enrolls at the University of Central Florida for summer school to start journalism studies while he's doing this fan-sided. An AAU tournament is happening in Georgia. He hitchhikes with some of his buddies to play in the AAU tournament. After the AAU tournament, a coach from UNC Asheville spied him and liked his game, but the school was out of scholarships. So now he gets a little made that maybe he can actually make it in basketball. He decides to attend a prep school in Tennessee called Believe Academy.
All right.
He goes to Believe Academy. He's still not that big of a star there, but he cobbles together his highlights and puts out his film on Twitter. That April, he sent out a package of the highlight clips that caught the attention of former Ohio U assistant Will Ryan, the son of Bo Ryan. Ryan couldn't believe his eyes. I haven't seen a kid pass like this. To me, he has some Jason Kidd in him. So they invite him to go to Ohio U to walk on, and all of a sudden he grows to 6'4". He puts on 20 pounds, and he's just a star player for the team now. That's a great story.
That's amazing.
But somehow the fact that he lost both parents, that's what somebody told me.
He was living with a friend when he was 15 because his mother died of cancer.
Well, then, see? Yes.
No, she was single.
Well, he didn't grow. He grew afterwards.
I'm not worried about the growing. I'm saying, yeah, he probably
he doesn't grow. He doesn't play.
For all I know, he wasn't getting proper nutrition.
Well, that's possible.
That's what happened with Scottie Pippen. My man wasn't getting meals. That's why he grew so much in college. This guy, now this is a totally different story when you tell me the kid's
Where was he getting his nutrition afterwards? When he entered school?
He's
going to prep school. Like, how was he doing it? Somebody was taking care of the kid.
Right, a lot of the prep schools and stuff, the meals are provided.
Well, how's he get into prep school? He's got to pray to get into the prep school.
Yeah, well, whatever it was.
Well, so there's got to be a guardian angel in his life that helped him out here.
The story's
amazing.
With the lack of parents, I am with it, and I hope that he has a great game. And now I'm neutral on who wins.
He says he's a, potential second-round pick.
I hope he makes it.
What compared his playmaking ability to a poor man's LaMelo Ball?
I hope that kid gets drafted and has a successful NBA career now.
What are you doing the first game? I didn't even catch this story until late.
They won
the first game. Was he a star player in this game?
I didn't watch Ohio's game. I got to work. Got to do the Sixers. I didn't see Ohio. I don't remember seeing Ohio.
What did he play? Played Saturday? Because he's playing tonight?
Yeah, it had to be Saturday to be playing tonight.
Check out this kid. This is an amazing story.
I'm excited to watch him now. You know what? You know what he says, Mike? He said, I've gotten a lot of attention for what's happened recently, but I just want to say, I wish some of my teammates would get some of the same love as well.
Well, there you go.
He's humble.
That doesn't move me.
He played all 40 minutes.
See?
He had 11 and 13 and 8.
I respect him.
In that game, that first round win over who did the Bobcats beat there? They upset somebody. Virginia, they beat your squad. They beat your favorite squad. You should love this kid. You hate Virginia.
They played at the same time as the Sixers. I do hate Virginia. And now I hope Ohio wins by 100. I know they were the ones that beat. I hate Virginia. That's not basketball what they do. So I hope Ohio and this kid wins by 100. Now that I know the whole story.
How does Virginia lose to Ohio?
I'll tell you how. That's not basketball that they play. If you let the kids play basketball.
But it was funny. They're calling Virginia. Whoa, they upset the defending national champions. How long ago was that?
Right.
Come on, they were defending national champions.
And Kansas was the best. They should have crowned the champion last year. Should have been Kansas. They were the best team last year. You don't know, obviously, because of the tournament. And now that's whatever with them. I'm tired of that. I hope that this is the end of Virginia forever. Go Ohio. Go Ohio. Go Ohio. I hate Virginia.
Let's get back to the phones. Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's going on, Ed?
Mac, baby. Preston, he's legit. I didn't know all that story at all, and now I really like that team.
Yeah, they got that other kid, too. His name's Vander Plas.
Yeah, but Berkey's got a nose for the rim. He's a big part of their. I think they were on yesterday.
Who were they showing? I watched a little game. They kept cutting to this guy who looked like Uncle Fester from the Addams Family. Who was that guy? Was that one of the fathers?
Probably.
I didn't know who the guy was. They showed him like 10 times. He got more play than Sister Jean, this guy.
I am so glad that we have March Madness, even without fans. I'm digging it. Tyrone Rutgers, first time I watched them, they had some D. They had that game.
They really did. They really defended well. I can't believe they lost the game.
That defense was, I was digging it. I've never seen them, and I enjoyed the hell out of that.
And Michael Young's kid slinking shots from all over.
And Villanova's surprising everybody. We all thought they were dead.
Well, come on. They played two CYO teams. We're crying out loud.
I know. And Colorado put up 96. I didn't get to see
Colorado is this underrated team. Who knows Colorado? I didn't even remember they're in the Pac-12 now.
That was my pick on your pool there on the
show. Yeah, you got Colorado. You're right. I eliminated a lot of people today.
96 points. That's a hell of a lot. But tonight in Michigan, I didn't get to see him Saturday. So tonight I'm watching your guy Phil and Joanne, and hopefully they'll take down LSU easily.
I don't know about easily. That line's a little slender.
Yeah, they got one
five.
Guy.
What is it, five? Five and a half? We'll see.
Listen, the Big Ten hasn't really done that well, but that's how March Madness goes. But I think Michigan's a good team. I truly do. They got a big old dude in the middle there. But Feibel, I don't want to give him up.
Yeah, I know you don't. So it comes down to you're not giving him up. Okay, so but you're not giving Thibault in the deal, which means you're not getting Lowry, which means how good are you then?
No, I want to keep
Thibault. I'm asking you. I'm projecting
he's
here.
He's on the up. He's on
all right,
the
you're keeping Thibault. Really, that means you're not getting Lowry. So then, what's your team?
That does not mean.
Well, no. I'm giving you a hypothetical. If it takes Thibault,
you guys, what else can we do to get Lowry without giving up Seibel? Because
you're just wishing
his game.
I know you like his game, Ed.
Danny Green,
but here's what I'm asking you, Ed. Take a breath. Hold on. All right. If the Raptors won't give you Lowry without Seibel, are you still making the deal? Or are you not making the deal?
I will give you picks. I don't want to mess.
Yeah, but you can't. It's not the world according to Ed. I'm asking you if Toronto won't make it.
I don't have $54 billion.
All right. It was a simple question. Does he like Thibault enough not to make the deal? That's the question. Let's go to Wayne in Washington Township. Wayne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Wayne.
Mikey, Miss, Ty.
What's up, Wayne?
Natalie, how you guys doing?
Good.
Mikey Miss, man, I think you bumped your head. You must have tripped over that cordless lawnmower.
Well,
come on, man.
Over what?
I love you, man, but I'm going to call you Mikey King because you sound like Billy King to me. You ready to give up everything we got to get a...
Wait, everything you got? You got three stars. That's the foundation.
Mike, we're talking assets that you don't have to give up because you're not desperate for Kyle Lowry. You're desperate for no reason.
You're telling me that you think they're good enough now. That's what I'm asking.
I actually think they're good enough now with the addition of solid bench pieces. Another score off the bench makes them good enough now. But
who's the solid piece off the bench that makes them good enough?
I mean, listen, you heard them talking about a Terrence Ross. You heard them talking about... the other kid, I can't think of his name. Another.
Well, you're going to have to give up people to get a player like that. Who do you think you're giving up?
But you don't have to give up what you're trying to do.
You got
to
give up salaries. They're not going to just take Drek. You got to give up a young player.
You're going to give up picks for.
You're not.
For
you what? Can't because you're taking back salary, bro. You need to give salary to take back salary. You can't just do picks.
Well, here's what I'm getting at. I would give up Maxey in the deal, right? I'm not giving up Feibel, because I think if the Nets are halfway decent, you're going to need to defend them. So,
Wayne, I understand what you want, right? But that might not be what Toronto wants.
I get you.
You see what I'm saying?
I get you. Then let him, then you know.
Okay, so you're telling me you're good enough to win now. That's what I'm asking you.
I actually believe we are, Mike.
Okay.
Like I said, I still think he's going to make some moves to bring in another score, but it won't be a Kyle Lowry score.
Okay. All right, listen, I'm the type of guy, if somebody, I got one suit, and somebody says, hey, I can get you a deal for two suits, but I don't really need the two suits, but I want to enhance my wardrobe because I know I'm going to look better. That's why I'm going to take the suits.
Yeah, but if you give up what you want to give up, you're still going to be hurting because you're not going to have any wing defense. You're giving up one, and you're creating another weakness.
All right. Listen, I got it. We see it from different lines. This is why I wanted to ask people, do you believe they're good enough now? I don't know. They might be. What I know is if I get Lowry, they're better. So I can't get past that whole concept. I want to make my team better. I know I'm going to make them better if I get Kyle Lowry or Victor Oladipo.
Do you think they win the title if they get Lowry?
I think I can't tell you that they will.
I don't know.
I think I'm going to win the blackjack hand if I play the right strategies? No. But my strategy is going to help me have a better chance to win.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that do you think that if you can't even say you think that they are
more likely to win with them than without?
Significantly more?
Yes. I believe so.
All right. Because that's the key. I have to pick.
Yes,
I think they're a move away from winning the title. That's okay. Where I'm at.
So you believe the same thing?
Right. I don't think you have to give up Maxie and Thibault, though.
Okay.
Because I don't know. Because I think at that point you're bidding against yourself.
One or the other. You're going to have to give up. Yeah. And I know you would prefer to keep Thibault. All I'm asking is, if they won't do it, unless it's Thibault's included, do you do it?
See, now, but I'm bidding against myself. Who's going to give you a better trade than the Sixers? You have to be. I'm not giving it to you just to make you happy.
Oh, I get it. I'm just making up circumstances. If they call you, go, we decide we'll move Lowry to you. But you got to give us Thibault in the deal.
One thing I would have to watch is what Miami would be willing to give up.
Yeah.
If Miami's pushing in, then I would do it. But I don't know if Miami truly will do it. And I know Boston won't because they're always scared.
Okay.
Somewhere in there, the Sixers have this $8 million trade exception, too.
Yeah.
I wonder what happens with that. Because then they can trade something. Mm-hmm. They could trade a pick. If you really wanted the bench player, that would make it to where you can do a pick, a player, a lesser salary player, and then you can take players into that trade exception. All so.
Right. All right, listen, I understand now people don't want to get rid of Thibault. I understand because I just get an email. Under no, caps, all caps, by the way. Under no circumstances do you trade Thibault, period. Give him Maxi. But no, do not trade Thibault. Okay, I'm with you. I don't have control over that. I don't have control over what Toronto is going to want to move Lowry. They say, all right, you don't give us Thibault, and then we're keeping Lowry. We'll trade him somewhere else. And then you go, damn it. We got to the precipice, and the Nets beat him because we didn't have Kyle Lowry.
Well, that's the other thing I need to find out. Do they not trade him at all, or do they trade him elsewhere? Because there is not, just because there's rumors, there's a chance. The Nets are known. I mean, the Raptors have taken players into free agency.
Yeah.
They do that sometimes, so that's another thing I need to watch. If he's traded elsewhere, I'm angry. If he's not traded, period, that may mean that the Raptors weren't going to trade him no matter what.
Okay.
So there's still some things that have to get leaked. And I'm sure it'll get leaked because it'll actually be during this program on Thursday is the deadline. And you know they're going to do something.
Yeah.
You know they're going to do something.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what they do. The question today is sit with what you got, ignore everything else.
I can't do that though.
Or make a significant move.
I can't just sit.
Cost you Thibault.
I got Simmons and Embiid and Tobias. Why would I sit? I got a chance to go win this thing.
I understand.
I can't sit.
That's why I'm chatting. Okay. All right, let's go to Martin in Westchester. Martin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Martin.
Good afternoon, you guys. I wanted to throw out another name that I don't think has been put out there. He's actually a Villanova guy who I think is clearly a better basketball player than the guy we're all talking about.
Kyle Lowry?
Yes.
Come on, man. Come on. Come on, bro.
Lowry's who? Better
come
than
Come on, Martin.
Yeah?
Yeah, come on. Josh Hart's just... He's just a role player who will give you 20 minutes. He's not a significant...
He's not a role player. He was one of the leaders of Villanova's team.
Yeah, but he's not Kyle Lowry. He's just a role player. He's not a great shooter. He's a
good shooter. He is way more...
He's not a very good shooter.
Well, he would add something. They wouldn't have to give up four players.
He's not going to make a difference for you winning.
Jump shot.
Come on, Martin. You're killing me here.
He hits jump shots, Mike.
He doesn't.
Funny SJ Wright, Howie.
He doesn't hit jump shots. Not an NBA level. Maybe in college he made a few shots. He's not that great of a shooter. He's not a significant enough of a player to make a difference.
All right, so just looking at it, for fact's sake, he's shooting, he's a willing three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting on his career, he shoots four a game. He's 35% for his career, but that's misleading. As a rookie, he shot 40%. Next year, 33.6, 34.2. This year, on four a game, he's shooting 33.5% from three. He is not an upgrade of a shooter than Thybulle. It would make no sense. He's also not a better defender than Thybulle. He does some other stuff.
Yeah,
it makes no sense. I don't know if he's a better basketball player overall than Thybulle, to be honest with you.
No.
I don't believe he is.
He doesn't have a great stroke. He never did, Josh Hart.
No.
Now, on a college level, you're going to make some shots, and it's going to make it look like, but you translate to the NBA, you just become a role player, does a couple things off the bench. He plays hard.
I'd be fine with him. If they do this trade and they're short a wing, and you bring Josh Hart as your wing with Shake coming off the bench and Howard, I'm fine with it. But instead of, that would be bad. That's just a faulty thing. I know a lot of Villanova people want to bring him back.
Yeah.
He shoots this year under 34% from three. That's not going to help what the Sixers need with Ben Simmons playing the way Ben Simmons plays. You can't put him out there with another guy who doesn't stretch the floor.
He's a max 10-point scorer. He'll make some baskets, but he's not a shooter. All right, let's take a break. 610-632-0.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's time for the final Twitter poll at 5:30, and the Twitter poll brought to us, as always, by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Good old-fashioned customer service. Check them out online, paulbmoyer.com. They have safe contactless pickup at their shop in Doylestown. Natalie, the final numbers today.
Alrighty, Mike, over 1,100 votes on this one today. Are the Sixers good enough to win the championship as is? 49% say yes, 51% say no.
Alrighty, thank you very much. Alright, Tyrone, the news today that Kyle Pitts, the tight end out of Florida, and Archbishop Wood ran a 4.4?
4.46 at 250 pounds.
4.46. Now, let me ask you that. That's an eye-popping number for tight end, 250.
That's faster than Rager ran.
Do you think that moves him, like people will get enamored and take him before six?
That's been the rumor. Atlanta's apparently in love with him. There's people talking about he could go, if there's trades, he can go even higher. Yes, there's a chance. The tough thing with the Eagles are, the Eagles stink. Contrary to all the spin, you don't win four games unless you stink.
Uh-huh.
They need more talent. More and more, it's looking like, if you look at both his production and these measurables.
Yeah.
He's the most talented player, and I don't know if you're the Eagles, you could be picking by position when you stink. So that's going to be the tough, but he may not be there.
Interesting. Like it's funny, because that number, that's the first thing I thought about. Wow, they see that number, you know, these teams react, something like that, and because he wasn't really projected to go before six.
Now, that was running outside on grass, but it was electronically timed. He's going to be running indoors next week for the pro day. He's probably going to run faster. at 250. Like, he may not, but I'm saying this was electronically timed outside, not perfect conditions. Hey. He's going to be in perfectly conditions at a pro day next week. If he runs 4.4, or if he gets under 4.4, forget about it.
Good for the kid, man. Good for him. Happy for the kid.
I am too. And the Eagles may not get a chance to get him, and maybe it all works out. There seems like there's a lot of good players. But I think we might need to get used to the idea that perhaps he's just the best player, even though we like the wide receivers, and we might have to get off position.
Yeah.
Because he might be that good.
All right, back to the phones. Miles in Overbrook. What's up, Miles?
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Miles? How you doing?
It sounded like when I'm listening to y'all talk about this trade with this possible trade with the Sixers. I mean, like, what happens if they make the trade and they lose in the first round? And you lost, and you then gave all those assets. That you seem like you're in favor of.
In favor of what?
Of giving them all the assets for Kyle Lowry.
What assets are you getting? Like, do you still have the main assets that you build around?
I got to use the word assets.
Okay, but look at the assets you have on the team. You're building around three dudes anyway. Like, you're talking about, like, just bit of players. They're not star caliber players, these quote unquote assets. They're nice players, but the world's not going to end.
The world is not going to end, but the world will end soon enough.
Now tell me how you feel if they fall short because you think this team is good enough because you don't want to give up these quote assets. They fall short. Then what? What are you going to say?
It's a 50-50.
It's not 50-50. You know that they're going to be better if Kyle Lowry's on his team. You know that.
They're not going to be better defensively.
They're going to be a better all-around team. They have to be. He's a pro player with playoff experience.
I give you that, but they're not going to be better defensively.
Thibault plays 20 minutes of defense a game, that means they're going to lose their whole defensive presence?
No. And I'm not saying that. Kyle Lowry is not going to improve the defensive end
he's a starting. He's a starting. He's not a bad defender. He takes charges. He leads the league in charges. Taken. Well, you're skipping out on his abilities as a defender.
At 32, how many charges can he take?
Come on, man. Come on, Miles. Listen, I get it. You're not making the trade. All of a sudden, oh, my God, Thibault has turned into this magnificent, like, the world has never seen a better defender. People going loopy now with this.
They are. they are. But I think what I don't like is the whole, what are you going to do after this? You still have Embiid, Simmons, and Tobias, and you run it back and you try to win again is what you do. That doesn't make you, they're not trading, they're not doing what the Nets did. The Nets, literally, if the Nets lose, the Nets have nothing to get better. The Nets literally have nothing. The Sixers would not be, by making that trade, emptying the till to the point where they wouldn't have another shot. Plus, Durant, you don't know about his health. So the Nets went all in to try to win one, maybe 2 years. The Sixers would still have multiple bites at it, even if the Lowry trade doesn't work.
Yeah. Suppose you lose in the first round. Suppose you win the whole thing with Kyle Lowry. How about that? That's my answer.
Don't come to the parade.
Jesus. Sal in South Jersey on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sal.
Hey, Mike, Tyrone, Natalie. Enjoy the show, guys.
What's up, Sal? How you doing?
Yeah, it's a good debate. I'm hearing a lot of callers that I side with here. I know that you are saying that automatically they're going to be a better team with Kyle Lowry because he's a pro. He's got playoff experience. I don't think that we can say that for sure. Right now, this team, I'm going to use the chemistry word. They're gelling. The pieces are fitting right now. They're winning games that you would think that they would have lost last year with Brett Brown last night, case in point. They are fitting together. And I know that some people, the word chemistry may be hackneyed in a way, but they do seem like they have something special brewing here. And I just don't want to disrupt it. It really just comes to the fact, I don't want to disrupt it. And part of that is giving up young pieces that you will inevitably have to give up in a deal to get Kyle Lowry, who is 34 years old. And again, I just don't think that it guarantees that this team is going to be better than they are now, yet alone win an NBA championship.
Scared money don't make money. All right. Scared money don't make money. Besides that, they haven't played with Embiid for a long time. How do you know what they are when Embiid gets back?
Hey, Mike, I mean, I'm telling you, I just think that this team has something special right now, and I just don't want to mess with it. I don't want to mess with it. I really don't.
If they had lost to the Knicks last night, would you have said the same thing? Because they were really close to doing it.
Yeah, yeah, because it was a back-to-back on the road. Maybe their legs got a little fatigued in the fourth quarter. Yeah, I would have still had the same stance. I mean, I'm loving this team, as I'm sure the three of you are right now, and I just don't want to mess with what's happening here. I just feel like something special is brewing right in front of our eyes.
Listen, if that's the way you feel, that's the way you feel. I don't necessarily feel the same. I think we're shortchanging the ability of a player like Kyle Lowry.
I hear you, Mike. I like where we are right now, and I just don't want to.
All right, man. Well, listen, a lot of people like where you are. That's what I say. Had they lost that game last night, I guarantee you it would have been a different tone.
Yeah, but we shouldn't make any decisions based on one game.
Well, you know, people do that. They're feeling good. They're feeling good about the state of the team. They won that game last night. They wouldn't have been feeling good if they lost that game to the Knicks.
Well, people, you got to think a little bit bigger. You're thinking about the playoffs and can they win the whole thing? And who do you trust late in the game, knowing Simmons' limitations? What you can then do is you take the ball out of his hands. You leave him on the floor. He sets a screen. He can set an off-ball screen for Embiid, get him an easy catch. You know the kind of shots Lowry, you can trust him more. You also can flank shooters around with. I think people aren't looking at the whole picture of having another dynamic ball handler as well on this team. He's him plus Shake. They've only really had one extra in Shake. Now you'd have Lowry and him as a guy who could create a shot, both for himself and others.
Yeah.
Same thing would apply to Oladipo. Less winning pedigree, but also can create his own shot and create for others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's the part that maybe it would make things easier for Simmons, make things easier for Embiid, make things easier for Tobias.
They're shortchanging that in relation to what Thibault is. And I'm sorry because I like Thibault too. I think he's really a very good defensive player. But come on.
And a lot of the chemistry, a lot of that credit should go to, one, the coach, and two, Dwight Howard, who's not going anywhere. He has been, they said literally, the players said that when there was no fans, it was like he was the fan. He has been a big part of the chemistry. He's not getting traded. He's going to be here. So it's not all going to fall apart.
Right. Okay, let's go to Tom on the cell. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tom?
Mike, I can't believe what I'm hearing. I can't believe it. I cannot believe that you have callers that are using Josh Hart in the same sentence as Kyle Lowry.
Well, that was a Villanova guy. You can obviously.
Well, I'm a Villanova guy.
Yeah, well, some Villanova guys overvalue the Villanova talent players in the NBA.
Okay, then you have guys that don't want to mess with the chemistry. Kyle Lowry is a killer. Kyle Lowry will take that shot that will stab you right in the heart. I will right now. I will give both Maxey and Thibault for Kyle Lowry.
Well, that's what it might take, and that's why I'm asking the question.
I tell you,
majority of people will say no on that. That's their instincts
well,
say
I
no.
Say yes. I say yes. I hope you say yes, too. But if you don't...
Yeah, I really think that if you got a player like that, that enhances your chance
to
win.
Let me ask you one question that I haven't heard.
Yes.
Does Kyle Lowry have anything to say about this?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he can always go back to Toronto after this year if he really wants to. I would think that Kyle Lowry this year would get juiced to playing for a title. There's no reason he would want to stay in Toronto for the rest of this year.
Yeah, but so if he has something to say about it, don't you think he would pick the Sixers over the Heat?
I don't know. He's down there already. They're playing their games in Florida, so maybe he likes to stay down there.
Yeah,
and the Heat are pretty good. He's got no taxes down there, you know. He's actually making more money this year because they're playing in Florida.
He'll get a much better chance for a second ring here than down there.
Yeah, all right. I I guess I have a problem with the assets thing. Oh, you give away all your assets. No, you're not. You're giving away a couple players that are young. You know,
Yeah, now the assets are Embiid, Simmons, Tobias. And Curry's Curry because of the contract, which is just, it's a steal.
Well, Tyrone, UCLA is up 24-12 early in this game against your squad. Abilene Christian, very, very famous school in Philadelphia football history, though.
Why?
Because one of the greatest running backs came from Abilene Christian.
Who?
Wilbert Montgomery.
Oh, that's where
Abilene Christian.
Interesting. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's a fun fact.
Well, they still should like give me scholarship money for making me watch them play basketball.
You know, I was just thinking about this. Since we had that story about the dude who plays for Ohio now.
Mm-hmm.
How about Tyrone Johnson, many years in the radio business, decides that he wants to get back. He sends a Twitter highlight film, and Abilene Christian offers
you. There you go.
You Scott, it would be a great story.
No, I wouldn't.
You got some eligibility?
I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't go back.
You what?
Uh-uh.
You wouldn't, given not, the not, chance not to play college basketball, Abilene Christian's the only school that offers, you wouldn't do it?
Not that school. I feel like I'm not at that school. I would need to go play at a school that hoops. I don't know what they were doing. That was not, like, I wouldn't, there's some schools I wouldn't go to them. I wouldn't go to Virginia under any, no way. Because I'm not going to go there and not play basketball.
I know you wouldn't go to Virginia. But I believe Christian, you could be, you know, it's kind of, you know, you'd be the story of the tournament.
Yeah, a man of my age still out there trying to do it. But the thing is, I would feel like I'm cheating the game because I don't know what that was that they were doing. They couldn't make a shot. Like,
well, you would help their profile then.
You would
change their whole MO.
The other part is, though, I would end up trying to do some crooked recruiting. So I need to get somebody to come with me. Like, this ain't going
to
cut it.
Get your partner Al Fisher to go down there with
There you go.
I don't think Al got a lot left either. So
it'd be tough. Let's take a break. Sound off on the other side.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What is it? The hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Keep going. Sound off.
All right, time for sound off. 610-771-9705. That's how you get in. You got something to say. Hit us up. A lot of people probably hit us up over the weekend with the tournament results. Maybe some heartbroken Rutgers fans. Let's see what we hit now. We didn't have any?
Oh, no, I don't know. I'm sorry. I was shaking my head in disgusting
tough
pain.
Loss for the Scarlets. Yeah, anyway, let's see what we got on sound off today.
My man, Cork Miles, is an all-star four quarter. Every game, he play one quarter like an all-star, Mike. Ain't about time for you to give him some credit?
No. Next.
No all-star voting going on, so we're starting to see that pass suspend again. He needs a mid-range jump shot, especially come playoff time.
Yes, he does.
The thing is, of course he does, Mike, but I don't know where it came from. Like, the teams are doing different things on him, but he's still been engaged in the games. I don't know why people think. It's not like he was shooting right before the All-Star game.
No. Listen, the people that don't think he needs a jump shot, you can go jump in the lake, okay? And I don't think how many basketball experts you want to throw my way that say he doesn't need the Popoviches who are giving the comments when they're not. They don't want to offend anybody. He needs to shoot a jump shot, okay? For him to go up to the next level, and we go through this playoff situation again, where he's not going to be ultra aggressive to score 25 the way he scores it, and we're going to do the same thing. So I'm just trying to spare you the whole aggravation of this, because he needs to shoot it.
Then Golf Despair decides to say, oh, we're not playing bad. We're just turning the puck over, and it keeps going in the back of our net. Well, what do you think the definition of playing bad is? You're turning the puck over, you're losing games. If I was a coach and one of my players said that, I would tell them, you're not going to the media ever again.
Yeah, I don't know if these hockey dudes know how to explain when they're playing bad. It's tough for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't like to bail on their mates.
Yeah, but, so that, you but know. He could have taken some ownership because he didn't play the last game, but previous, he's been part of the problem turning the puck over. But isn't turning the puck over part of playing bad?
Yeah, it is.
It's not like missing shots, but like we got good shots, but we missed shots, but we played good defense, we moved the ball. No. It'd be the same as a team turning over 40 times and saying, oh, we played good basketball. Like, why would he say that?
That dude is what he is, though, that Gus is bear. That's why the old school hockey coach like AV don't like him. Yeah, and he keeps trying to throw him out there to try like define religion that the kids. He is what he is.
Mike, I must admit, about 2 years ago, I walked past the Philly forecast booth and yelled, "Hire Toppler," in hopes that the ownership was watching the game. Do I get a pass for that, or am I as big of a fool as Dave himself?
I really didn't hear that.
He said he was walking outside of Citizens Bank Park and yelled "Fire Kapler," and he wants to know if he gets credit for it. Is that what he said?
No, not credit. He said credit.
He said it while they were doing a live broadcast.
Oh,
yeah, it's a jail.
Not credit. He's saying, does he deserve? Does he get a pass, or do you think he's wrong?
No, it's still jail move. Come on. Yeah. You don't need to yell crap and get on the air. It's like, you know?
Right.
You know, we used to do remotes. People used to do that.
Yeah.
Like way back in the day when I first started out, you know, people would yell in the back. Come on, man. Have some respect.
Jason will be doing Flyers Weekly. He's going to talk about how he disagrees with the Ghost's quote, by the way.
Okay.
Ghost quote. So that's coming up.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but when Ben Simmons drives the hoop and dishes it to Dwight Howard, you really got to sit him down because he obviously has no idea what he's doing.
Who did it? I'm having trouble
hearing. Ben Simmons was going downhill, and he kicked it out to Dwight Howard, not for a dunk, for a jump shot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, that's not knowing the situation. That's what, you got to be more savvy than that.
You got to know, even if you flip it up and get him a chance to get a rebound, that's better than passing it to him for a spot-up jump shot.
Yeah, that's something like that's a cop. Why are you throwing it to him? What's he going to do with it there? Yeah, that's what the coach would say.
Villanova will beat Baylor, win in the Elite Eight, and get to the Final Four. Eight different players hit a three. This ties an NCAA record. Cats win, cats win, cats win.
And listen, I hope they do. I got nothing against Villanova. I look like Jay. He's savvy enough to do it. I just don't think they can score enough points against Baylor. They're going to have to make some shots. And they're not shot makers right now. All right, let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of summer. Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are the limits?
Because I don't like
them. Then bring it. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 545 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
All right, that was sound off. Yeah, stay tuned. Jason Martinez of Flyers Weekly. He's not a big Ghost fan. He's hated Ghost the whole time.
But he, especially about that quote, he's going to probably talk about.
Yeah, so he's going to rip into him. And we'll have Flyers Islanders right here on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned. The warm-up Flyers pregame show and Flyers Islanders on NBC Sports Philly. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.